Support for today's show comes from Talkspace. Talkspace is the online therapy company that makes it easy for you to connect to a licensed and experienced therapist, and for a fraction of the cost of traditional therapy. Talkspace is confidential, convenient, and best of all, affordable. Match with your perfect therapist today and enjoy a special offer on Talkspace on us by going to Talkspace.com/friendzone.
Welcome to the Friend Zone. Every time
I'm
in the
zone. My name is Dustin. I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. The Search Show. I'm in the zone.
When Miley Cyrus did that, that's how I felt today when I didn't want to slip and bust my motherfucking ass in the rain. Because when you step on them little white parts when you crossing the street,
but can someone tell me what she's talking about?
I don't know. Break it on down. This is a clip from the tour audio. This is an audio clip from the tour when Miley Cyrus was on her Bangers World Tour. So this is when she was peak on her Miley bullshit, right? So she came out on the stage and she had it on her spirit, I guess, to give a testimony about how these motherfuckers tried to kill me.
What is this? And who put that music behind it? Was that you, Carrie? It's Carrie's Corner.
Early on, okay?
Carrie's Corner starting at the top of the show.
Carrie's Kitty Corner today.
Oh my God.
You know what? That is absolutely, let's open the show by saying that did come from Carrie's Corner. That is I saw the tweet first. It is audio from Miley Cyrus giving a testimony on her Bangers World Tour that someone laid on top of a gospel track. So it is the most authentic, sincere testimony I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it really has set the mood. Yes, Lord.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Friend Zone.
So, let's do a gospel freestyle today to open the show.
Okay.
That works, right? I think it's on topic. Let's do a gospel freestyle. Here we
go. Well, Mom and Dad, I don't know what is finna happen, but I hope you love me at the end of it. And you too, Lord.
Let's do it. Okay. I've been wanting to do gospel music.
I don't know how we're going to do this, but you know.
We're about to freestyle gospel.
The Lord is going to guide
us. That's right. All right, let's go. We got to send praises up so blessings come down.
Wait, so we doing Christian rap? That's
what
we doing? Yes,
we about to do a gospel freestyle.
Okay, well, why you playing? You know, Chance the Rapper was technically at one point a gospel artist, wasn't he? Or a Christian rapper?
Isn't he still?
Oh, see? Well, I'm about to freestyle Smoke Break now.
Uplift the people.
All right, let's do it.
You know, the times get hard. Sometimes you're on the boulevard. But you need God in your life to serve as a boundary, a protection, and a guard. That's G-U-A-R-D. I want you to understand me clearly, because God is on my side. And he's on your side, too. You hear me?
Oh, my God. What?
See, this is gospel music for those who don't know. See, God knows your way and how it's finna go. So you can play them games if you want to, but you know you'd be a fool, because it was a play on Broadway. They said your arms was too short, too. Box with God. Even if you thought you shod, you better not. Because God will take you where it's really hot.
Oh, my God.
Asante, it's on you to give honor. Yes, yes.
Okay, I got it.
Yes, you do.
Lord, give me clarity. Mm. Lord, give me grace.
Give me grace.
Lord, bless us all that's chilling in this place.
Okay.
In this place.
Let's get through this podcast. If we're recording or if you're listening, I know that you're sitting there, and I know that you got something glistening.
Oh, it's glistening, Jesus.
What's glistening might be your cheek from the tears that you feel.
Tears of the Lord.
But everything that I tell you here on the Friend Zone, it's real.
Oh, it's real.
So, Lord, watch over me as we pray for this episode.
Oh, we pray, Lord.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, I ain't know how this was supposed to go.
Oh, but the Lord guided you.
Amen.
He took your hand.
Yes,
he led you there.
He did.
To the promised land.
Wow. Ah,
we thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Motherfucker! They're trying to kill your back.
See,
if I were you, I would say yes.
Hey, okay.
Okay.
Let him use you, friend. Let him use you, friend. Friend had it on her heart.
Oh, shoot.
See?
Y'all crazy.
Got the vessel.
All right. Because sometimes, you know, you need that spirit. Giving honor to everyone and to all things being made possible by something and someone. We want to welcome all to the Friend Zone. Your weekly look into all things mental health, mental hygiene, and mental wellness. Because who in the hell, and I can say that because that is in the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Okay?
Who in the hell
wants a musty brain?
Hell.
Not I.
Oh, my God.
How you doing, friend?
I'm good. How are you,
friend?
I'm so good, y'all. I'm blessed.
Yo, y'all look funny as shit.
Yes.
So, how are your weekend?
Let me tell you about how good of a weekend I had. I think that's why this has been on my spirit when I came in the studio today. Because I truly experienced the blessing of the Friend Zone Live in Dallas, Texas. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, Spurs did jingle, jangle, and jingle.
Dallas
okay?
was awesome.
It was all of that and the bag of chips.
What an awesome crowd.
Yes, it was so much love in the building. Carrie of Carrie's Corner was sitting front and corner.
Carrie's Corner.
Okay. Front and corner.
We had him right in the corner.
Shout
Carrie was
Carrie's
in the building.
Corner. We had a little joke in there somewhere. Oh, you know what? Never mind. Carrie, shout out to you. We just had a moment on the stage, and I love that happened. It was great that he's like on the show with us some weeks.
Yes.
So for him to be there for the live show was definitely an
experience. I mean, it was such a meeting of the minds.
And everyone was so funny, right?
Yes.
I feel like it was a funny,
yes.
like they had us laughing more than anything.
Oh,
they gave us the perfect amount of engagement
yes.
that really made it feel conversational, and everybody just felt like one big family. So it was just great.
It was hot as hell in there.
Yes, it was. And nobody complained.
Down here trying to kill your famous,
okay.
your favorite bitch.
That's how I should have been strutting across that damn
I've
stage.
Had some good days.
And I've had some hot
And I've had a hot day last Saturday, but I won't complain.
And y'all didn't. And we appreciate
y'all
that.
Y'all truth
was not
through.
Within our power to change
that
it.
That was a crowd. You hear me?
Yeah, it was.
It was. Shout out to my best friend, Gary LeVar, for coming to the show, being a part of that with us. And shout out to my brother. My brother was in the audience
yes.
and my sister-in-law. So that was absolutely just amazing. It really was a family-oriented show. I told y'all, that's why it's on my heart. It's on my spirit today.
And make sure you guys catch us on Friday, December 1st.
Yes,
DC.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
If you haven't grabbed your tickets yet, the VIP is sold out. Thank you guys
so much. The VIP
so
is sold out. And if you are VIP, please pay attention on the website to the VIP
yes.
times. Mm-hmm. I do believe that there's emails sent out for follow-ups for that, but we want to meet y'all as bad as y'all want to meet us. So please come to the VIP accordingly.
And grab your tickets at thefriendzonelive.com. NZC show will be hosted by our sisters over at Getting Grown Pod.
Yes. So excited.
Jade and Kia. So that's going to be really, really fun. So we'll see you guys there. Are you guys ready to jump into this week's show?
Absolutely.
No, I have something to say.
Your
friend, you might could feel me on this. You might could too. I don't know what happened. Fuck marathons.
Oh my
that
God.
That shit took forever to get home.
Me and Asante had to walk home with our suitcases in the rain because the traffic, it was faster to walk, put it that way.
Wow.
And you know, I still walked home.
You had no choice.
I had no choice. It was blocked. You weren't going up Adam Clayton Powell.
In the rain, in the dark, in the cold, after a like 5-hour flight. But it's okay.
It's all right. It's cool.
Because God is good.
And God is great.
So them bunions and corns and shit and blisters better be worth it that all you marathoners got for cutting off the traffic and making them roll them suitcases home.
That was like the worst timing.
Y'all better have finished. Shit.
Right. I hope somebody toenail fell off.
Oh, it does.
All right. Now that I got that off my chest, I'm ready to jump in, friend.
Y'all ready to jump into the recap?
Yes, like I'm on a trampoline.
So in last week's episode titled Love and Office Hours, we discussed how to balance being in a relationship, helping it thrive, but also helping your career thrive. Where do you compromise? A lot of you, as usual, had a lot to say. So, Asante, who stood out to you?
I want to give a shout out to Amber in the emails, the friend zone at loudspeakersnetwork.com. I can't believe I forgot the email. It's like my first time ever. As much as I say it, right?
Per use.
All right, so per use, Amber said, did y'all jinx me? My boyfriend doesn't want me to do this project. That's the subject. Hi, friends. I recently just finished a 7-year performing career as a dancer and moved home with the intent to teach more, perform less, and start a family. Only a week into moving back home, I met my boyfriend. He's the bomb, and we know we are meant for one another. Fast forward to now, I teach at 3 different dance schools during the week while also going to get my K-12 dance teaching certification. A former male classmate of mine just asked me to co-star in a visual he's creating for a song he wrote about he and his significant other to present as a gift to her because they're now on a break. He would like for me to dance and portray his girl, and he's portraying himself. It's an instrumental song, the story, and concept seem dope to me. I tell my boyfriend about the project, including the details that were given to me, especially the fact that the most intimate thing we'll be doing is sitting on the couch watching TV as a couple.
Sorry.
Right. At first, he seemed okay, but then he got off the phone abruptly saying he would call me back. Because I had just listened to the episode, I'm like, oh, snap, here we go. When he called back, I asked if anything was wrong, and he said no, and the conversation proceeded as normal. Oh, but in the morning, he asked me if he could be honest, then proceeded to tell me that he was uncomfortable with me being the video girl, and he didn't sign up to be with that girl because he felt like an innocent, intimate moment could lead to more. When I asked him to elaborate, all I could gather was from his answer was a lack of trust in me and my judgment. I expressed this to him, and he insists that he trusts me, but this is his opinion, and he's sticking to it. Here's my dilemma. Performing has always been a huge part of my life up until now, and I don't aspire to become an actress, so this project is not necessarily one I'm willing to risk my relationship over. However, what if an intimate dancing opportunity comes along and I absolutely want to take it? I know a conversation needs to happen about my identity as a performer and what that means to him and for us. So I just want to shout out to Amber for listening into the show and recognizing that and just seeing how that even applied to her. Like, I don't want to give you no advice because you didn't really ask me for that.
Right.
But, you know, everybody's going through it. What about you, friend? What did you find in the SoundCloud comments?
On SoundCloud, Mom's Drag with Swag said...
A name.
Okay.
Said, yo, this shit right here is literally my life. I've been divorced for several, and I met a guy that I told on day one that I was newly divorced and I was focusing on my career, loving myself and my son. For a whole ass year, he chased me, asking me out. He said he understood my need for self. He used to tell me he appreciated my confidence, my independence, the fact that I wasn't pressed. Cut to 2 years later, now he accuses me of not giving a fuck because I encourage him to hang out with his friends. That's okay. I don't give a fuck because I don't go through his phone. I don't give a fuck because I'm not pressed. I'm so confused. I even try to incorporate him in my life, ask him to go with me to events with my friends, and he will literally come up with every reason he doesn't want to go. But then he goes pissed if I go by myself. as soon as I landed, he said, I wish you could be happy with me the way you're happy with your friends. I'm like, if you wanted to be happy with me, you should have came. He gets an attitude even when I'm listening to you guys' podcasts and says that I'd be smiling with the podcast and not with him. I love him, but the stress is real.
Misery. You might as well get into bed and put that wooden block between your ankles and let her bust them with a hammer like she did in the movie Misery. What a miserable existence. Like, you can't do nothing you want to do.
That's
you might
so
as well
stressful.
Go move home. You might as well move back home with your parents.
I mean, really.
For real. That's oppression. That is literally systematic oppression. That's what that is.
Mm-mm. And a lot of guys were hitting me up like, it just sounds like what you want is not realistic.
To you!
Right. And I found it so interesting. Of course, we're going to have to do a follow-up episode just on what realistic relationships are. Because right. I was amazed at how many men really told me that what I want for myself and for other women is not realistic. Isn't that wild?
That's stupid.
I never said a perfect person. I just said someone who's looking to progress.
You know why it's really even more stupid? Mm-hmm. Because now, like, say they run into you in public somewhere, they're shot. They don't even have a chance in hell. They're so dumb. If anything, you could have kept that to yourself.
Yeah, right? Like,
dummy. Dummy Jones.
For me, what about you? Not Dummy Jones. Would you find Dustin in those Twitter streets?
In these streets. Yeah. Okay, I want to give a huge shout out to, I think, Mark, friend of the show.
I love you.
Again, once again, his name is S-Z-Y, like SZA, but Sizzy, which is hilarious to me. His tweet says, I had a long and productive day today. Total exhaustion. Brought me right back to life hearing my name on the new episode of Friends on Pod. So I figured we'd do it again.
Oh, no way.
I also want to give a huge shout out to Dialing Back to Our Dallas show, to Jordy, who is an amazing photographer that worked with me on the show, or prior to the show. Thank you so much. It was a great opportunity.
Such cute shots.
Like, thank you. And I also want to give a shout out to one of our VIP guests, Tanya, who wrote one of the most heartfelt cards I have ever read from anybody. And she gave me, I'm just going to say it, she got me a Pornhub t-shirt. And I had been said I wanted one. It was so thoughtful. I literally almost had cried a thug tear. So, Tanya, you my girl.
Thank you for all the gifts, too.
Everybody.
Now that we're on the topic.
Everybody.
Yeah, the jerseys that we got with the different countries on them. Someone gave me a beautiful Mexican sweater.
Yes.
I mean, not sweater, scarf and earrings. And you guys are awesome. Such thoughtful gifts.
Such thoughtful gifts. I just wanted to recognize that. All right, now getting back to the bullshit. I want to give a shout out to, once again, Carrie from Carrie's Corner, who brought to my attention that Lyrica Anderson posted a video on Instagram singing Soon As I Get Home by Faith Evans. And I was moved by her performance to leave a comment saying that the locks had been changed. Okay, by the time you got home, it was horrible. And how are you going to sing a song by somebody like Faith Evans? So because of that, people were in the tweets like it was just really bad and in the comments. And so somebody said, anyway, just go look at the video. That's all I'm going to say. I also want to give a shout out to, where's the tweet? Asia F. Baby with two eyes. Who said, thank you, Look at Dustin, for tweeting about Lewis York Music's LA show, because you were right. We were definitely in for a treat. Amazing.
Oh, I love Asia.
Absolutely. And she got to go to the concert to see Lewis York perform in LA, and she was blown away like we knew she would be. So shout out to her, and shout out to Lewis York.
Yes. And shout out to Lewis York. They actually have a new music video they just put out with the Shindellas, and it's so awesome because it's a Christmas song.
And
like, who does
fly.
That?
They're so fly. The style is on 1,000,000,000,000,000.
So excited. So you guys definitely have to check that out. Of course, during the Music Man segment, I'll play a clip it. You hear me? I done made up
clip
a word.
It, baby. New one here on the Friend Zone.
Clip it good.
I also want to give a shout out to Kelly Rowland, who tweeted, who captioned her latest Instagram post, in these streets, ... And I want to give a subsidiary shout out to the thousands of you who tweeted me to let me know that she has stole my shit.
Okay.
Or that she had been listening, which is so hilarious in theory. But shout out to y'all. And you know, that's it. Twitter streets was popping. Let's get back to the show.
Oh, and you know what? I have to shout out. You guys were so funny with the roach story.
Oh, Lord. You know what, friend?
Like, the amount of messages and funny enough, the amount of roach stories that were then shared. Mm-hmm. So I have to just shout out Jasmine Baker on SoundCloud, who said, I had a roach come out of my book bag once. The dude who saw it was really nice and just told me and was quiet once the rest of the class noticed a random roach in the classroom. That's how you do it, y'all.
Friend.
Be kind. Be thoughtful. Just tell them, there's a roach in your bag.
The crawl for it all.
I have to say, you gave me something that I have not had in a very long time, so I would just like to say thank you.
What is that?
My mom called me, and me and my mom speak like every Thursday.
She called me and she said, what was that story friend was talking about? And then busted out laughing before she could get to the story. So I'm like, what is she laughing at? I have no idea. And then when she told me, I could hear her with the tears in her eyes finishing telling me the story. So thank you for giving me that. I haven't heard my mom down like that in years.
That shit was funny.
Thank y'all. But the ones listening, y'all are funny as hell.
Roach Toaster took me to the floor.
Roach Toaster.
It's still funny today.
Oh, God. Not one, y'all not are the two. Absolute
it's
best.
It's been 7 whole days. And I'm still cracking up. Like.
So y'all ready to jump into this week's episode?
Yes.
Yeah, my mic stopped dancing on me. It's trying to give me a lap dance.
So do you guys listen to a little podcast called Jaden XD?
Well, you know
yeah,
I do.
I know them niggas and things or whatever.
It's a huge podcast, and they're amazing. They're two of our friends. Shout yes. out to Jade. Shout out to Xavier DeLow.
Yes.
And they have an amazing podcast that is one of my favorite. I talk about it all the time because they really, really are hilarious. So I was listening, catching up on the flight, actually. Only me and Asante were awake. Dustin was in La La Land. And I was cracking up.
To and fro.
I was cracking up on the flight. Asante's, you saw me. You're my witness. Was like, he was like, what?
I was playing my game, so I have no room to judge. I was like, Frey is dying over
I mean,
there.
Dying. So
I was like, there ain't no TV. What is she laughing at?
Right. So I was catching up on the podcast, and they had an episode with Crystal. Shout out to Crystal.
No, shout out to Crystal.
Right.
She killing me with them animojis.
Oh, she's so damn funny. The little unicorn one. But she was a guest, and the title of the episode was called, like, Silver Teeth to Prison Pipeline.
Okay. Yes.
What?
Yes.
You got to listen to the episode to know why they called it that. Hilarious. But I loved it because what they talked about, it was like a nostalgic episode. But you know how we on this show always talk about childhood.
Yes.
And how your childhood shapes how you are as an adult, your childhood experiences. What I love is the twist that they took on the show where they turned it into just like a really playful, nostalgic conversation where XD was asking about your experiences from K through 12.
Mm.
And it was interesting to hear how different, you know, Crystal was like the church kid. Jade was like smoking weed and selling chocolates. XD was hiding porn from his grandma. It was funny, and it was cool to see how different their experiences were and how different they are as adults. So I thought the way YouTube takes concepts, for those of you who watch YouTube, you know how they'll have tag videos. I don't even know if it's still a thing, but I know when I was on it, it was a thing that people always did. Is it still a thing?
Me and XD did. It is.
Back in the day, right?
Me and XD did some of the same tag videos.
Funny enough.
Yes.
So it's funny. So I thought it would be a cool concept to bring the tag thought, like the tag concept to podcasting. So
yes.
I wanted to recreate the episode that they did with the concept. And then once we answer the questions, we want to tag two other podcasts to go ahead. And you guys have to tag them and tell them to do it, those of you listening. And of course, we love for you guys to comment and stuff, but definitely tag them so that they can answer the questions as well. Let's get a little tag going around in the
tag
podcast
you're
world.
It.
Tag, you're it.
And I hit people hard when I play tag. That was always my favorite part of playing tag, smacking the shit out of somebody.
I hated dodgeball because of that. When people would throw that shit so hard at your head and
Man,
shit.
Man, listen, when I was younger and more agile, dodgeball was my shit.
Yo,
I
used to have a heart
court.
Attack every time.
I was about to take up discus throwing. That's how hard I used to throw the dodgeball.
Oh, I hated all my having to play that in gym.
What? Ooh. I don't know why.
Y'all would be throwing them shits like football.
Well, let me tell you, I'd have no idea looking back on the Lord. Like, I have no idea how I was so quick.
You ain't want to get hit.
I did not.
That's how you were so
and
quick.
And that was it. Like, I just saw that
ball. I'd just be crouching down the corner.
Fuck that.
Anywho.
Right. Yes. See? This is just how we do.
But you put me somewhere. I was like, Raven Simone.
But that's good. Keep Wendy. That same. Oh, no. No. No.
Ooh.
No.
Oh,
God. Oh. Okay, so keep that same energy. And let's go back to K through 12.
Wendy Williams looked like Lot's wife. Remember in the Bible when Lot's wife turned into that pillar of salt? That's what she looked like when she first caught that moment. I'm just going to call it a moment.
I ain't said nothing about it on the show, friend. So I had, I mean, y'all knew it was coming, right? And the thing about it was, I told everybody, is she okay? Because now, real shit, watching that shit was scary.
But you called it the week before.
I told, well, first
when
of all.
You said her incense legs.
Yeah, them legs. She needs to get some legs.
She's and I believe. Fall over and then look what happened.
I believe, it is my belief, because you know how sometimes your team will protect you. Mm-hmm. I think that they finally showed her that picture of her on the beach. They showed her that picture of them legs. And that's when she was like, ooh. So that's when she sounded like Elvis. I'm all shook up. Oh. That's when she did that. But anyway, let's get back to this week. Because, you know, I just once she said she was all right, the doors of the church was open. It was time to laugh. Ain't no way in hell we going to watch Wendy Williams in a Halloween costume falling out and not laugh.
And the background was, like, funny. It wasn't funny. The background was, like, scary because it was Halloween. So I was like, is this a prank? And Jerry O'Connell was on there acting a fool the whole episode. So okay.
Kia said she saw the Lord.
Oh my God.
Said, Wendy saw the Lord. I don't care what nobody said.
But the fact that she was dressed as the Statue of Liberty and like so
the Statue
many
of Liberty
messages,
ain't never going
Lord.
Down.
Right. She looked like a Love and Hip Hop girl with that green wig oh on. She, she's on Love and Hip God. Love and Hip Drop. That's what she was on. Okay.
So XT asked.
Oh yeah! Let's get it on. Come on, baby. Come on.
God, yo.
Tag me in. Tag me, baby. And I ain't talking about the watch. Let's go.
So XD asked,
what'd he say?
He said, who? It made me sound like a pastor. He said, who?
Yes. I told you, friend. This the episode. I'm telling you.
He said, who is your favorite teacher? And this could be K through 12. No college, though. We're going to keep it keep it young.
Ooh. Go ahead, Asante.
Miss Woods. She
Woods.
Was like
what
my
grade is that?
Kindergarten or first grade.
Aww.
All I know is Miss Woods, her and her husband both worked at the school, and she had twin daughters named Ashley and Brittany, I think. Miss Woods was my everything. She was like the black woman I needed at the school. It was like elementary school, so a black woman at the elementary school is predominantly white. I needed her there, so I just will forever love Miss Woods.
Cute.
That ain't the password answer, though. You know, it's like, what's your favorite teacher?
Oh, yeah, now we know. I'm about to break into your Apple Music.
Right.
Okay. We gonna come back to the Apple Music too.
It's gonna be the playlist Purge fucking with me. I'ma change your icon to a clown mask.
Oh my God.
And
oh
put
my
a whole
God.
Bunch of Taylor Swift on the pop, on the playlist.
Oh hell no. And then say, look what you made me do.
All right. The cult American Horror Story, Apple Music.
Oh my God.
Who was your favorite teacher, nigga?
You know what? My favorite teacher was his name was Dr. Stram. And he taught me algebra in the eighth grade, and he was so smart and he was so cool. He drove a Lincoln with a rag top on it. Well, he always drove a Lincoln with a rag top on it because he kept a new one. Mm-hmm. And we went to the same barbershop. So me and Dr. Stram had a personal rapport because he would see me in the barbershop and have like more of a cool, like OG young nigga conversation than we could have in the, you know, boundaries of the school.
Right.
And he would always pay for my haircut, and he would always just encourage me to be doper, and I will never forget Dr. Stram. So
cute.
Shout out to Dr. Stram. Now I have other favorite teachers who we used to be mean to, who deserved it, but who used to be mean. And it was this
Wait,
one.
Wait, your favorites that were mean?
Well, it was my favorite teacher because we would go in there at the fool. You know what
oh,
I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Yes. Unless, are we going to do our least favorite teacher
yes,
as well?
Yes. Oh,
well,
that's
then.
The next
you
one.
Know, I will remove that from the record, let the record reflect that out. You know. Expunge.
I have two. My kindergarten teacher, Ms. Glick.
Oh, she sound nice.
She was so cute. And the reason I liked it was because when my mom took me the year before, you know how your mom takes you to like visit the school?
Yes.
She took me and I was only three, so you weren't allowed into the program yet. But when I got into the classroom, my mom says that I literally ripped my hands away from her and ran straight to the desk, pulled out... Yeah, like, saw what the other kids were doing. I pulled out a pen, not pen, like, coloring markers, and just started getting to work.
Always been a star.
And my mom said her and the teacher busted out laughing because most kids would be scared and crying and kind of like grabbing to their mom's legs. And I looked at her like, bye.
My girl's got to work.
Yeah. And she said, I said, bye. And she said, low key, she was like, damn, that's embarrassing. Like, you telling your mom to get the fuck out.
Like, imagine how you think
all the
you
other
teach
kids
mama.
Were like, mom. And I was like, bye.
Right.
So she said, she was like, okay, not cool, but cute. And the teacher loved it and was like, that's amazing. She can stay. And
your mom probably felt so much more comfortable and at ease, too.
Well, yeah, because it's nice, right. Yeah. And so, and it was nice, too, because at that time, we were lived in a really stressful home. Mm-hmm. So she was just happy to have me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher was so sweet that she let me come in at, as a three-year-old.
Wow.
Only thing is, I had to repeat it the next year. So I'm technically a pre-K, no, kindergarten left back. I got left back. Little rough start.
Okay. What's your other favorite teacher?
And then my other favorite teacher was Mr. Crespo in fifth grade.
Okay.
Because he's the
Crespo.
One. Mr. Crespo, yeah, he was awesome. He's the one that told my mom that she had to put me in private school. He was like, she's very, very smart, but she's going to get lost in the system if you keep her and send her to public middle school. And he was like, I want to help her get into the private school system. And my mom was like, you know, we don't have the money for that. I don't know how we would do that. He was like, don't even trip. I'm going to figure it out. And he did. He went and made a bunch of connections with people he knew. He found out of a school that had an opening slot. He prepped me for the interview. You know, like really gave me that pep talk of like, this is going to be different. It's going to be scary. You're probably going to be the only black kid. And it's, you know, as a project kid in a white school, like he kind of just like, gave me the affirmations that I deserved to be there and that I was going to do amazing. And he got me in. I went for the interview, knocked it out off of his prep work, and was in. So he literally single-handedly
changed your life.
Changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow.
That's dope.
And I try to find him on Facebook, and he's just like, he's not even on there. I'm like, where is this dude? So Mr. Crespo, and the off chance that maybe one of your nieces.
Okay.
Or you're somebody. Like somebody in your family.
Side chick.
Yes.
Whoever at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe side man.
Whoever
right.
at this point. 2017.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, you can tell us now, Mr. Crespo. It's cool.
You can be
it's
free.
Cool
yeah.
Now.
Yeah, so I loved him.
Wow,
so for him to have done that for me, I don't know what he saw in me at that time, but forever, forever grateful that he did that for my mom and I. So that's him and Ms. Glick are my favorite teachers of all time.
I have one more favorite teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I have two more favorite teachers. I just want to say Mr. Pollard was in my, he was my middle school teacher, and I was in the AV club, and he gave me like complete creative control. The same middle school.
Oh, the AV club.
I was the one
you
doing
would
the,
be on there.
You know? I was the same one that was like editing and doing the like the production board for like the morning announcements, and that's the same school where I showed like Aaliyah's last video
oh,
in the morning
right,
and shit.
Right, right.
Like, so Mr. Pollard, thank
they
you
they would
for,
roll in the big ass TV into the classroom.
Right,
and Mr.
Cart.
Pollard, I just had one place to be and they all did that shit, but Mr. Pollard was like smooth as hell. Like, you walk into a classroom, he's always like, all right, you know, now today. And he was always telling you to shut down your computers. Now, when you're done, you need to shut down your computers. They get hot. It gets hot in here. Like, I remember he used to always say that shit, and he'd always take me out. So, Mr. Pollard, if you out there,
yay.
Shit, you the shit, man. Come on now. I'm going to leave my other one for the next question.
For the next one. Okay, so the next question was, who was a teacher you hated and why? Sorry if you're listening.
I'm not at all. and it was a couple of them. But, ooh. It was a couple of them. So one lady, I want to say her name, but I'm not even going to do that because my mama raised me better than that.
Right.
But she was so mean to us. She was so mean to us. And her last name started with an H. So every day, first of all, like, we started rebelling just because that's how mean she was. We weren't even bad kids. She was just literally evil to us. Like, she would roll her eyes and grunt, all kind of stuff.
Like, she hated kids.
Like, I mean, just like day one. You know what I'm saying? And so it only take a minute of that till, you know, I come from the school of, like, my daddy telling me, you fight them till somebody pull you off of them, right? Don't stop
oh
hitting
God.
Till you pull it off. So all I knew was to defend myself, so I'll never forget. I threw a
oh, no.
It was, we would throw, like, loose change, you know, different things at the chalkboard while she would be writing. And then, and like, and I'll never forget, we threw a Starburst, and it was some kind of lime. It was green or whatever. It wasn't lime, but the wrapper was green. And I remember she didn't even turn around. She was just like, thanks, but I don't like lime. I'll never forget that. And her last name started with an H, and so we created like a, we said a gang, but it wasn't a gang. It was 811 HK, like the her last name, and then the Killers. So, this is horrible. But at the time, whatever. And so we'd be like, 811, HK, Black Killer, 811. Yeah. And she deserved it. That's the thing. And I hope to this day that she gets a lot of parking tickets.
You think she's alive?
I hope so, because I hope she still can suffer in some way. Like something like getting parking tickets or something else that just irritates the shit out of people. Like, I hope her roof gets messed up or something. She got to figure it out. Like, something like that. She was mean and nasty to us. And I'll never forget that. And Miss Green Roberts, I got something for you, too. It was a principal who, well, never mind. That's another story for another
time. She got high.
Oh, okay.
What about you?
Okay, so this is super random. Okay, so I can't remember which middle schools I went to because I went to three or four different middle schools. But Mr. Pollard was, I think, the first middle school I was at, so I really liked him because all my friends were there. But another middle school I went to, and I hated this middle school because this is going to sound so fucked up, but being an adult, like, you understand more. I hated this school because it was more black folks. And because it was more black folks, that meant more problems for my ass. And when I got there, I had this teacher named Mr. Brown. He was my homeroom teacher. And I hated Mr. Brown.
Mr.
Brown was a little young, snarky gay black man. So Mr. Brown, you would come sit in his class. He'd be like, all right, class, you come in, you sit down, and you don't speak until everyone is sat and we're ready to start. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, what? Why would you speak when everyone's here? Like, why would we not shut the fuck up? Why would we not be having a good-ass time until something be quiet?
Yeah.
Right. All he would, like, I remember I would ask him a question, like, Mr. Brown, Michael, no, you may not. You may not do that. Like, and everybody used to make fun of his ass. So one day, like, the kids were, like, they were trying to, like, gang up on me because it was a bunch of niggas that knew each other and it was my, like, I was new there. And Mr. Brown came over because, you know, at a young age, he could tell, like, I was the gay one and I didn't make that connection that's how we were supposed to be. Because my mom had gay friends. So I was like, I knew gay people. I didn't need the teacher to be like, oh, we gay, so we going to bond. And I felt like that's what he was trying to do. But he was like, the next time them boys bully you, I'm going to call them all in my classroom. And then I said, that's going to look crazy for both of us. And I remember I stormed off. And the next day in his class, he gave me a suspension for something. So I had in-school suspension because of his gay ass. And I remember saying, this is your gay ass fault. And I stormed out the classroom.
You did not say that.
Yes, I did. I was gay. So I knew I could say whatever I wanted to say. Like, you know, when you're younger and you're troubled and you're different and you act out, sometimes they'll let you slide with certain things.
Right, because they know where it's coming from.
And administration couldn't really do anything because he was gay, too. So it's like, well, they can't talk about a child being gay, so they didn't really know how to touch it. So I got
they're
over
like,
there. Wow, things have changed.
Wow, haven't they?
Because I swear to God in heaven, cussing the teacher out was literally, like, as extreme as it got. Like, when I was in school, cussing at a teacher, what? It was, I would think, cussing at a teacher was like when Y2K was about to happen. Everybody thought it was like that. Everything was just going to fuck up. So, you know, hey.
I went to a badass school, though, so that was common.
Right. Really?
That's what I'm telling you. It was more black folks at the new school.
They would be like, shut the fuck up to the teachers and storming out, throwing books while walking out the classroom to make sure it slammed against her.
We did that, but we didn't cuss at the teacher. We did all, I mean, you know.
Yeah, no.
Slamming books when they turn around on the floor. We all did that. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, no.
So one time.
No,
Mr. Hocken. I hated his ass, too. I had, like, advanced math and science, so I would go to one school in the morning for those classes and then go over to my regular high school for, like, the rest of my classes. And Mr. Hocken was at that first school. And so we would, like, while he would be on the board teaching, because, again, these were when teachers were mean to us. And I remember his breath used to stink so bad. It used to be like I would feel like my eye color was going to change if I was like looking at him while he was talking because the permeation of the scent into my pupils. So I really did. So anyway, we were like, he would be turned around writing on the board, confusing the shit out of us and not caring whether we kept up. And these girls, I'll never forget it, they started literally because the classroom didn't have any windows. They would get up really quiet and then smack the light switch on the wall so the room would go black. And everybody knew that as soon as the lights went out, you would start yelling and screaming, beating the desk until he found his way to the light switch to turn the lights back on. And then what's he going to do? Because who are you going to discipline? You know what I'm saying? The whole class. Oh, so he deserved that though, Mr. Hocken.
Damn.
Moving forward, I'm so glad these days are over.
Listen.
I've come a long way.
I think my third grade teacher, Miss Milhoven, you know what's funny? I didn't understand why she disliked me so much. She hated my guts. Mm-hmm. And think about it, I was so little. But I get it now. And my mom and I actually talked about it once I got older. I didn't understand that it was like an anti-blackness sentiment that she had. Because she was from Europe. She was from Spain. Mm. And so she was viewing me as like that little, you know, hood Caribbean, you know, like lower class. We weren't polished and refined like Europeans or women from Spain. And, you know, she had the accent and she just never treated me nice. Like, and I was really doing well. Like, obviously, that's why the teacher in fifth grade looked out for me. But it didn't matter my grades. It didn't matter my test scores. She would always punish me and say, like, you know, there's that teacher that always punished you for talking too much. Mm-hmm. And in my report cards, it was always that I was always talking, that I was too social. There was nothing I could do right in that woman's eyes. She would find something to say that was wrong or needed improvement, even if my scores were like 99% on everything. And her issue, too, I was in an African dance troupe. Which is so funny now that I think about it. There was this African dance troupe that was like adults. And I don't know if you've ever seen dance troupes, but there's always that little girl mm-hmm. that comes out.
You were the little girl,
I was
friend.
The little girl.
You better get it.
So it was a dance troupe that I was a part of. And we ended up performing at my school. And when she saw that, she like flipped. Like, she thought it was terrible. She was like, you know, she actually called my mom and told her that she thought that it was too hypersexual, and, you know, just she really felt that it was like disgusting. And after that performance, it was like even worse. Like, she thought that I was this like hypersexual kind of fast ass in a way, not understanding culturally, like our movements. You know, if a little kid's gyrating or moving their hips, it's cultural. It's not me.
It's not sexual at all.
It's not sexual unless
you're... That bitch was a pervert.
Yeah, unless you're viewing it with that lens. So, but that was her anti-blackness and her issues just with us culturally and our heritage. So she hated my fucking guts. Hated my guts. And when she saw that I graduated with honors, was valedictorian, and was headed to this amazing private school, she was sick. She was sick over it. I'll never forget. She was one of the only teachers that didn't congratulate me and had nothing nice to say about it.
That's okay. I hope all her kids marry black people. And I also hope that she catches a cold on the plane. She's going back over to Europe.
But can you believe that? When you think back to shit like that now, you're like, you were an adult.
Acting a fool like that with some kids.
How old are you in third grade?
In third grade, you are eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Come on. 8 years old, and you have a hatred for someone. She was so nice to everyone else. Because everyone else was like, you know, either European like her or like white kids and different mixtures, and she just hated my guts. So that was probably the worst experience for me. Okay, so the next question, who was your crush at school? This is K through 12.
Ooh, okay. So this
what
is
were they
this,
like?
This ties into, oh my God, this ties into Mary J. Blige, my love for Mary.
Oh.
Because when the Real Love video
now
came out.
Now we get
out,
some insight.
Mm-hmm, when the Real Love video came out, I was inspired to write a letter to this girl named Sarita Johnson. She was so fine to me. And I was in like fourth grade. And I wrote a letter because I wanted her to go with me. You know, back in elementary school, who you went with, like, who was your girlfriend
or
whatever.
This is a big deal.
Yeah. And everybody had girlfriends and, like, boyfriends growing up in elementary school. Like, you went with somebody in the class.
Isn't that gross? Yeah. You think now? What the fuck
it meant absolutely nothing, but you thought, like, you know, y'all went together. It was established. And so I liked her and I wanted her. And to this day, I don't know. Well, I wanted her at the time, you know, whatever. And so I wrote her that letter, and she ended up being like, we liked each other. She was like my girlfriend.
Oh,
and
my she God. Was,
it was weird. We had a lot of challenges against us because.
I thought you were going to say you had a lot of challenges in the relationship.
We did.
I'm like, what?
We had a lot of challenges in our relationship. I'm about to tell you why. Because we was against a lot of odds.
She liked cookies. I didn't.
This was more like a long distance relationship, but they was trying to keep us apart because like the school was separated. I was in the magnet program, so all my classes were on the second floor, and I went to lunch at a certain time. And she was not, and so all her classes were on the first floor, and she went to lunch at a different time too.
Long distance relationship.
It was like two different schools, and so you know we really tried to make that work, you know, but it was difficult, and it was a lot of people, you know, saying it would never work.
We really tried to.
And, you know, we really found a commonality in our love for the arts. And
would y'all meet in the staircase?
Well, yes, literally in the staircase.
I can see it.
In the cafeteria, which was also the gym. And then school assemblies was the best time because we could finagle a way to sit next to each other during the assembly, which is what a couple should do. It was the honorable, just thing to do. And so, yes, that was my crush.
What about you, Asante?
I can't remember any crushes.
No?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
There has to be.
I can't remember.
K through 12?
Mm. How you know you was gay then? Mm.
Oh, he just don't want to tell us. Why? Because you guys still know each other.
And you out of high school.
No,
this your chance.
I know so many people still. I'm sitting there like, who is going to listen to this? Because people.
And then they're going to Facebook you like, hey, stranger.
So let me
start. Okay. Well, you can finally find out.
No. Let me just start with this. The phone number that I have has been the same my entire life.
Okay.
So he letting you know up front, reach out and
I'm
touch
letting
him.
You know that there have been times we've talked about school on here.
No. And it's really yes.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
Friend, any crushes in school you want to discuss?
You first. I learned from Dustin to always go second.
Hey, now, more prophetic word on today. This is the church episode, flat out.
I cannot remember. Okay. This is going to be really stupid, but I still remember the reason why I be so emo, like some of the emo music that I listen to, is because one of the crushes that I had, we went to the same elementary school, and then he like left all of a sudden, like he was gone. I was like, what in the motherfuck? And so like for a very long time, I was like hurt by that. I was like, I ain't never gonna see this nigga again. Like, and the funny part about this is I cannot believe I'm about to say this. He was Puerto Rican. So even as a child, I was you know, down with the Hispanic
swirl.
You just
always liked it.
I don't know what it was. All I know is that nigga was gone. And one day in middle school, like, oh, it was my first year. Oh, my God. It was my first year of middle school at the school because this was the school that I really liked being at. It was, like, after school at the buses. And this boy was, like, skateboarding around the bus and shit. And I was like, who the fuck is this, like, kid? Like, I was, like, the first one on the bus, put my shit down, and there's this boy outside skateboarding. And it was him. And I was so shocked that it was him. I'd literally been listening to this depressing-ass music, not thinking about him, but just thinking about, like, what could have been had we still known each other. And then it was him. like really dumb shit as a child. I don't even know what it was supposed to be. Like, trying to look
Degrassi.
Back at it.
That's funny.
But we reconnected from him, like, skateboarding outside the bus, but then we didn't reconnect. Like, I gave him my AIM name, and he never hit me back.
AIM, yo. What was your AIM name?
It was something really sad, and you mentioned it before on the show.
Really?
Yes, it was that one. It was that one, and I'm not going to say it. I am not going. Oh, my God. You fucking good.
Do you know
right
mine was Bussy Cat? This is before Bussy was a word.
What?
So when it became a thing, I was like, oh my.
Wait.
New account.
Why?
Stat. Why? Okay. Win, order. Okay. Shit.
Was it because
literally. So when it became a thing, I was like, wow, bro.
Was it, were you flipping the pee?
Flipping?
Oh my God.
Sunny side up.
This is what I'm guessing. Maybe I had tried to put pussycat and the pee was taken. So I was just like, bussycat, whatever. And put a B, and Lord only knew that a couple years later.
You've always been ahead of your time.
Ahead of my time.
Always.
Jeez.
Pop culture.
Pop culture.
Okay, who was I? Okay, I had a lot of crushes. So when I started that private school,
yes,
everyone was white. So that was like, whoa, so different for me. Here I am, this project kid in a white school. But there was this one little mixed boy with hazel eyes. He looked straight out of a Gap commercial. He was half black, half white, curly hair. He was tall. I mean, tall for that time period. And athletic. He was like in the basketball team, and he was literally the only other black kid. So I was just like, but he was so cute, y'all. Like, if I show you pictures, you'd be like, oh my God. He was that boy. Like, I was in a whole new world. Fell in love with him, but I thought he was totally out of my league. And then he didn't show any signs of interest or anything. But I remember one day he was like, you know, I know that the building you live in is really rough. He was like, it makes me nervous that you come out of there and then, like, walk here to school. He was like, if you don't mind, I'd like to wait for you in the morning.
Oh.
We were in sixth grade, okay? And he really thought he was going to do something to help me if something happened in the projects. Like, that's so cute. And so he really did. He would wait for me in the corner of my building every morning. And my mom would look out the window and she'd be like, he's out there. I have a reason I'm not saying his name because he married someone I'm cool with.
I
want to respect their relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But so my mom would look out the window and be like, he's out there. And I would go and we'd walk to school.
Damn, he been dope for a long time.
Yeah, like
no,
he was.
You
just...
been dope for a long time. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Definitely. Look, I was thinking that when she said your mom was like, he's outside.
What?
Yeah, she would give me that look like, he's so sweet. Like,
doing a little Uzi Vert.
Like, she just thought that was so sweet that a little boy would want to walk me to school because he was nervous. But my mom used to be like, if anything happens to that boy in this block with his white mama dropping him off at the school thinking he's safe and then he's walking to the projects, come get your ass. Like, his mom had no idea that he was walking to the projects in sixth grade. This little, like, sheltered rich kid. But that was his thing. And we didn't date. We just were, like, really close friends. And then when we got older in, like, seventh, eighth grade, that's when we started looking at each other a little differently, and we dated, and then we ended up going to the same high school. So we were together. We got together, kept going together through high school, and then here's what's funny. When he got to high school, he broke up with me because he was like, you know, this is a new life. I want to come in single to high school. And he was about to be in the basketball team and soccer.
Damn.
And he dumped me because he was like, I want to be free.
Love and office hours.
Right. And I get it because, you know, he was kind of like, you're old love. Like, I'm trying to get on with the high school chicks. But little did he know that when we got to high school,
okay,
Fran's little body came out.
Okay, let's talk about it.
That's what I was doing.
You already knew. You already know. So when I got to high school and my little body came out, and that's when I started straightening my hair and going to the Dominican salon and getting acrylics in my nails.
Popping. You said, hold up, wait a minute. Okay?
Started wearing heels, little skinny jeans, and he was sick. And he was trying to fix it after that because I was popping in high school, and he tried to fix it, and I was like, no. You said, you know, petty. I was like, no. You said you wanted to come and be single and get the new girls, so enjoy them. And I made sure he was sick all 4 years of high school.
Ooh.
And then we got together in college. But I had made sure he was sick in high school because that was his plan.
That's right.
But shout out to him. We had a really adorable love story.
Okay.
So that was like my little on and off crush from middle school all the way to college, basically. Hilarious. Shout out to you. Hilarious. Right? So cute. Okay. So we kind of did an embarrassing episodes, but it wasn't like focused in school.
I am really complete in my quest toward finding embarrassing moments in my life.
Okay, here's another one. He asked, did you fight at school?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What was the worst fight you had?
Probably on the bus when I was in the eighth grade.
Shit, the bus, yep. Yo.
It was my first time being called gay in a derogatory way, and I felt like I had to set the precedent, you know what I'm saying, with, you know, being about that action. I already told you how I was, you know,
ooh, and with guided. Your brother.
Yeah, and there's more. So it was on the way home, and it was this bitch named Kiana that stayed across the street, and I'll say her name. And I don't even care no more. I hope, like, all is well or whatever, but fuck you for this. So I remember she was older than me, and she was, like, a few years older than me. And she probably saw, like, a little twang or something, somebody did or said, because I used to be on it because I didn't want to be gay. You know what I'm saying? So I used to try to mask on, nigga, fucking mask on, you know? So anyway, that bitch started with me, and it was these two boys who one was 1 year older than me and the other was 2 years older than me. And so they started. It was on the bus on the way home, right? So I'm like, okay, this is my first time in life ever being, like, quote-unquote, I guess you could say bully. To me, they was just fucking with me. That's what kids do. Right. But at the time, it felt really intense. And I was getting off the bus when the shit was really going down. And so it was kind of like I just got off the bus and was figuring it out. But I knew that I had to make them atone them. I had to make them pay. I knew it. So I was like, okay. Next morning, right? My brother worked at a credit union at this time. And he used to drive me to the bus stop to go to school. So the next morning, I'll never forget, I had on this sweatshirt. You know how they do, like, promotions at the bank, and so they make the employees wear, like, sweatshirts with whatever on it or whatever for their promotion. So at this time, they had this, like, bear thing or whatever, and the sweatshirt had a bear on it. Why I remember that detail? Who knows? It's completely insignificant. But the sweatshirt had that on it, and I wore some jeans and some boots. And I remember I was like, I'm getting on that bus tomorrow morning, and I'm going to fuck everybody up, flat out. So I had a combination lock, like a master lock, and I slid it under my... This is a true story, okay? I slid it on my middle finger, and I got on the bus, and I remember we all sat in the back, because, of course, where else would I sit? That's where the action was. So I walked to the back of the bus, and the one boy...
My kids ain't taking a bus.
He stood up. I'm going to leave their names out of it, because I literally... This is, like, literally eighth grade, 40 years ago, so I literally don't feel nothing. And from this, I grew into myself. So I appreciate these niggas for this experience. But that morning, okay, it was on. So I got on that bus, and I walked to speed the story up. I walked to the back of the bus. The one boy got up, and I was like, well, he didn't really get up. I walked up to his seat, and I remember verbatim. I was like, yeah, that shit was real funny yesterday. What's up now? And he got up and tried to take his coat off, and I remember my little brain in the eighth grade thinking, now! And I remember when he got up to, like, take that coat off, boom, I remember I went right upside his head. And I literally, he was leaking, like, I busted his head open. But I didn't know it at that time. I just kept beating ass. And so I was getting him, and the other boy who was a year older than him, he was started trying to grab me. I remember this, like, clockwork, because this is how I was, like, learning how to fight.
Yeah.
He tried to grab me, and so I remember I started swinging up, you know what I'm saying, getting his ass up off of me, too. And then I remember feeling somebody... Not getting him up off of me, too. I remember getting him off of me because I had the other boy down. And it was like going down. You hear me? And so I got the other boy up off my back. And I remember just feeling myself getting lifted up. My brother had got on the bus because he was, in order for him to get back to our house, he was following the bus. He has to follow the bus every day. So he saw, and in my head, I'm not thinking about those kind of details because I'm a kid.
Right.
So he literally, you know how school buses have that clear window
in the back?
He saw the whole thing go on. So when the bus got to the next stop, and by the time the bus driver realized with the chaos of the fight, my brother got on the bus, and like him and the bus driver pulled me because what I tell you, my daddy told me. Don't stop until you get pulled
off.
And I remember him and the bus driver pulled me off or whatever. My brother was like, you don't allow me. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
And I remember my brother was low-key proud of me.
Of course.
And I went home and I got suspended from school for 10 days. because I used a weapon. And it was this big meeting in the office, and
all
my grades
was
behind and shit. And my parents were upset that it happened, but I didn't really get like in trouble. I got kind of like a low-key punishment. But of course, once they knew what had happened, you know, what the fuck? This is what y'all told me how to do, and y'all want me to defend myself anyway. So I really didn't have static like that. But yeah.
Woo.
That's just one. You want some more?
The fact that your brother happened to catch
that, sure
though.
Well, he will tell you that story to this day.
Yeah. I want you to go next, friend.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear about you. You got a fighting story, friend?
I have so many.
Like, see, this what? Is what I yes. need.
I mean, I'm like, which one, bruh?
Please, anyone.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Because I told y'all the one time I got jumped, but it was that they had me confused with somebody else.
Right.
But by the time they realized it, they were already in it and the adrenaline was kicking up. Because I remember the girl being like, it's not her. She was like, fuck it. And it just kept beating my ass. But that was one. But I think the worst one was probably, it was a dude, always a boy. This was elementary school, so it had to be like, I'm going to guess, fourth or fifth grade. And you know how when the badass kids from other classes would be sent to, like, your class?
Yes, yes.
And they'd be in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You remember. Oh, my God. So they'd be sitting in the back, like, being reckless with their, like, feet, you know, hanging over.
Dangling,
hanging over the seat.
Distracting you down.
Totally distracting our class.
Throwing spitballs and shit.
Yes, that kid. So one of them, he threw something at me. I think it was like a pencil. But the way he threw it, it was a sharpened pencil. Fuck. And he threw it. And for whatever reason, that shit actually landed straight into my hand. Like, on my hand, and went into the skin. Like, it broke skin.
Ugh.
I'm freaking out because I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't see it coming. So it shocked the shit out of me. So my reflex, I, like, run to the back of the classroom.
My girl. And
I bit the shit out of him. When I tell you, I like lunged forward, he falls on the ground, and I bit his stomach. Like, just bit it. And I bit a chunk of his fucking stomach, which so disgusting.
Wow.
And they ended up, we like punching the fuck out of each other. Like, we're full out fighting. They took us to the principal's office, of course. He was really hurt. Like, he had skin that had been taken off. So they were going to suspend me, but luckily the principal, you know, heard the full story, and my classmates told them, like, no, she was not even bothering him. He threw the pencil. It could have been dangerous. What if he caught a vein or some shit? The way he threw it, it was like he's fucking Paralympics. What's that?
Archery.
You know, some fucked up shit. So luckily, they didn't suspend any of us, but my mom, I remember she was so mad at the school, and then when we got home, she was like, you did so good. I just remember her being so happy. She was like, you defended yourself. Like, that made her happy to know that
she didn't have to worry about
that. She didn't have to worry about me, and she knew that even if it was a dude, that I fucking beat his ass and bit his shit. Because I didn't care. I was like, by any means necessary, you're going down. And if I have to bite you. And you know, it was gross. It was a chicken pox that I bit.
Oh.
I was like, fuck.
Fuck it.
Damn.
Whatever. So that was probably my worst.
Chew through
worst
it.
Fight. Chew through it. That's going to be my motto. Just chew through it. What about you?
Chicken pox. I have a couple of different things that come to mind that are just ridiculous. Like, one of them, the most ridiculous fight that I can think of, I was in school, and you know what? I talked a little bit about this before. It was the Scholastic Book Fair, and they gave out these, or I had my mom buy, rather, one of those movie books. Like, I remember I would get, like, X amount of books to read and then X amount of books for entertainment. And so this was, like, the Power Rangers movie, like, movie book. And it was, like, behind-the-scenes stuff with, like, holographic special edition shit in the book. So this was the book that I bought. It was the Power Rangers. I was in school. It was the shit. This young man, I don't even remember his name. I remember his name. I still look him up on Facebook sometimes.
Oh, shit.
He smelled like mothballs.
Okay.
I remember very distinct things
about
this
young
man.
Not a smell you can forget.
Never, ever. This young man took my book. Like, it was my book. I remember I was reading it in class, and this had to be, like, elementary school, middle school, somewhere in there. And this fool took my book and acted like I wasn't going to notice. And I didn't know he took it until he came to school 2 days later with the same book and acted like he just got it out of nowhere. Mind you, we just had the book fair. They just delivered these books. And I know your ass live in the same neighborhood as I do. So I knew your mama and I knew she wasn't taking your ass out to buy no goddamn books. Especially the one that I just got at the book fair. Anyway, I said all that. And then a girl, she had a crush on me. I don't remember her name. She's the one that told me. She was like, I was looking in the back of his book and it had your name in it. And I said, what? So it was my book. So I pulled up on him in school and I was like, hey, you got my book. I need my book back. He was like, I don't have your book. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he was older than me and he looked a little swole, but he actually really looked slow to me. So I didn't care. Anyway, I was like, okay, well, I need my book. He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So we get into the classroom. He pulls the book out, and I just walk up on him, and I grab it. This nigga grabs my arm and pulls me into the desk. And so on my way down, mind you, I didn't even know that I did this on my way down, because when he grabbed my arm, I shoved him down. So I went down to the ground, and he came down too. As I'm going into the desk, his head hit the desk first because he was already sitting down. And so his forehead was clean.
Oh, my God. Violent
ass. And so then he looks up. He's like... And I'm like, oh, shit. And I took my book and I went to the back of the class. And so then when the teacher got him, she was like, you know what? Everything is okay. What's up? Da, da, da. And then everybody's like, ooh. And they all looked back at me.
Snitches.
And so I had my book back, but then I got called to the office. Then the teacher took the book. So I didn't have my book back after I did all that shit to get my book. That was...
Scholastic crimes.
Crimes. Crimes. Oh, and the other one that I could think about was in summer camp. I got into a fight with...
Ooh, summer camp, bruh. That's a whole other chapter.
I was really... I went to summer camp because, you know, Miss D, she had to work, all right? My mama, she had to go to work during the summertime. You ain't staying home watching television. And my sister, she's 8 years older than me. My sister didn't like me going to summer camp. And I remember she used to be... Well, she was beating ass way before that because my sister beat ass of this music group. I think I told that before. So she was always telling me, like, if you go to summer camp, you know, you're going to have to square up with some people at some point or another. And I was, like, a big child, but I was, like, really big and nice. So eventually somebody did come along and fuck with me. Like, she could tell that that was going to happen. These kids, they were, like, really sore losers. Or one of them was a really sore loser. And his two brothers went to the camp, too. I don't remember what game we were playing. It was summer camp, so it was at the park. And he lost, and our team won. I didn't say anything. I don't even know how I got into a fight with this boy. This boy tries to start fighting me, and I'm literally not fighting him. I'm just holding his head back because he was too small, and I was really big. So I was like, I don't want to do shit to this kid. And so, like, he's, like, trying to swing at me. His older brother comes downstairs. He's like, yo, let my brother go. And I was like, your brother's literally trying to hit me, and I'm just holding him. He's like, yeah, but you don't put your hands on him. And tried to rush me, and then I let the brother go, and they ran into each other. And then we had to all start scrapping. Like, I was like, I cannot believe I ain't did shit, and I have to fight people. But then when I got in trouble because, you know, I had to fight. And my fighting isn't like, hey, we just gonna fight. Like, there was more blood.
Yo, for real, so, that's why I don't fight.
I don't like to fight. I don't know what the limit is supposed to be or whatever the fuck
that
means.
I'm one of those that blacks out. So I'm so glad that I'm in a different place.
Especially as a child. Like, that's hard.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't really know shit. Like, all you know is...
You have no limitations.
Man.
So that's it. That's it for our stories. Why are you making that face?
Because I just, you know.
I'm trying to hold back. We over here with adrenaline.
I mean, not that. I just, you know, at this point in my life, I work very hard not to find myself in certain situations.
Tell me about it.
Because I, you know.
Whew. You don't want to kick that up in nobody.
You just don't. And you don't even want to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? I just want to have good times, good energy.
Yep,
good memories. I don't want to make no more bad. Even though I enjoy the process. Real talk, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so I'd rather just be peaceable.
Yeah, honestly, all my fights were like high school and before that. I never fought in college. I never fought as an adult. I haven't had any fights. Y'all were like, you already know.
Look, I didn't mean to. Y'all know I am very nice. But
they came for you.
There were some situations I ended up in.
I mean,
a couple of them I was supposed to be in. I was talking, and I made sure I backed up that talking. But
sometimes people are just crazy. I've had a time where, you know them tunnels when you got to cross from, like, the 2 to the 1?
Mm-hmm.
Tunnel you gotta go. I remember one day I was walking minding my business and it was 4 girls, and you know how they be hyped coming from the club, and I know I heard one girl go, "Cause I will fuck her up," and I was like,
"Who said that?"
I remember I turned around because I was like, I know she's not talking to me. And maybe that's what I shouldn't have done. I should have just kept walking. But I sure as hell stopped and turned around. She was like, yes, like I said, I will fuck you up. And my dumb ass, I was like, I would love to see you try.
Bitch.
And she was with five other girls.
Damn.
So me
shit.
Know my heart was beating fast. I was like, you dumb ass, your ego. You should just kept walking. And luckily her friend was like, don't do that. Don't do that. But she was coming towards me. It would have been the end.
It would have been
no
hey
friend, no podcast, no YouTube.
I would have had to tell her friends. I was like, y'all just watch, and if you want a piece, you can come next. Like,
but you see how sometimes is you minding your business and people just hyped.
Yeah.
Yeah, people hyped, and then your ego gets in the way because you don't want to be talked to crazy like that for no reason.
It's the energies. And you know what's so random? I was having this conversation with somebody in my neighborhood. You know how there's like these random people that walk around your neighborhood and you're just being nice, you're talking to them, and they talk to you.
Yeah,
I
end up talking on the stoop for like 2 hours.
We was talking for like 30 minutes about nothing. I was like, okay, girl, it's too early for this because it was 9:00 in the morning and I already missed the opening of Wendy. I like to laugh at her in the beginning sometimes. That shit happened. And then I walk into the deli and a fight was going on. They were talking crazy as hell to each other.
Oh my God, I saw
the
your
one I was
IG
on my,
story. She was
even,
like, is you do crack?
She was like, you and your man do dope. Like, they were going in the deli and I couldn't order my breakfast. It lasted 45
man, you
minutes.
Stood there drinking tea.
I did. I was drinking my coffee because they had the ginger tea, right? It was tea. I was drinking like, I'm not going to ever get my sandwich. And then the cops finally came after it was all done.
And living in Harlem, listen.
And it involved niggas
we
that
could
I know.
Do a whole episode just on Harlem living.
What?
And Harlem
no.
fights.
Please don't.
Harlem nights. So who do we tag to do this?
I definitely would like to see the brilliant idiot, Charlemagne Andrew Schultz.
You think
what's
they would?
Up?
That would be funny. I want to hear Charlemagne's story.
Yes.
And Andrew Schultz stories. I'm sure it with his personality. He must have some crazy shit.
I
want
to see what kind of fighting he was doing and shit.
Who else?
I think Charlemagne's best fight is going to be when he made Chrisette Michelle put lotion on her hands on the Breakfast Club. So tag, you it, nigga. Okay, who else? Let's do the ladies of lift service. Angela Yee.
Yes,
lift service.
Everybody tag yes. Angela Yee and tell her that we tagged her to do this hot button issue. And shout out to XD, to Jaden XD for the cute concept. These were adorable questions.
That's
and make
right.
sure you guys listen to that episode because their answers and Crystal's were hilarious. It's like an hour and like 45 minutes of straight laughs.
Thank you again to Talkspace for supporting today's episode of The Friend Zone. Now, with Talkspace, you can connect with an experienced, licensed therapist that you pick based on your preferences. Speak with your therapist on the web, over the phone, even video chat, without traveling, without worrying about your privacy or any other concerns that you may have with traditional therapy. And do not worry about your information being shared. Talkspace is 100% confidential, and you can even remain completely anonymous if you want. Every Talkspace therapist is fully licensed, has at least a master's degree, and goes through a rigorous screening process in addition to the thousands of hours of supervised professional training. Don't make any more excuses. Take charge of your life today and match with a therapist that can help you feel better in it. To sign up, go to Talkspace.com/friendzone. And as a special offer for our listeners, you can use coupon code FRIENDZONE to get $30 off your first month and show your support for this podcast. That's code FRIENDZONE at Talkspace.com/friendzone. Talkspace, therapy for how we live today.
So now let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
Well, 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 well. It's
all right,
the Christian
so,
episode, so I'm trying to be, you know.
I saw. You were given the peaceful one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys three questions. And
I
then,
ain't do it. I wasn't there, and I don't know.
I was going to answer with 50 Cent. Oh, he did that shit.
Yeah, oh, he did that. Oh, he did that shit.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys three questions. Actually, it's four questions. And then afterwards, I'll tell you why I'm asking, okay?
Okay.
And those of you listening, I want you to answer it as well. If you have a pen near you, write it down because I'm going to ask you to repeat them later so you guys remember them. Okay, so here's my first question. Think of your favorite animal.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want you to describe three reasons why they're your, it's your favorite animal, how it makes you feel, adjectives. What's your favorite animal and
a
why?
A dog.
A dog?
Mm-hmm.
Cute. Okay, what are three reasons why?
I believe that dogs have personality.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that dogs can feel emotion. And I just believe that dogs are a great complement to our lifestyle and our life. They, to me, you can have more of a connection with your pet if you have a dog than you can with like a meaningless cat or or a damn bird flying around making noise. You know what I'm saying? A dog, though, you can look a dog in the eye and they can look at you in the eye. You can feel that. So a dog. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A real bitch.
What's yours? Those of you listening, tell me your favorite too.
Give me a real bitch.
What's your favorite animal?
What if I don't have one?
Then pick one.
Well, think of one. Close your eyes and think what comes to the.
When you asked, I jokingly said panda.
And you can't say no reality stars.
Pandas are cute.
You know what? I do like. I do like those pretty fish. Like if I like
the koi fish.
Not koi. Oh, well, yeah, those are the ones that have the little, like sometimes they're white and orange.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I do like those. Like when I get rich, I want like a big elaborate tank.
The ones that be at the dentist's office in the aquarium.
Actually, I want one like center. Mm-hmm. I want one like like it's a centerpiece of some sort.
Or like a pond with koi fish.
Because it's always good to like stare at water and have conversations with people.
Well, what do you like about them?
I think that they're really pretty and the water's. Every time I think of water, you know, the Pisces in me is just about to start talking about some things.
Of course
you're
going to say water.
I just really like watching how the fish, like, swim around in the water. It's really, like, therapeutic for me to watch. And not for nothing, fish are simple. Like, the life of a fish in a tank, outside of a tank, like, you know, you just will see them swimming. I'm not even sure, like, really what is supposed to happen. It's just, like, really therapeutic to watch.
Yeah, they're calming. I actually really want a fish tank. It's just the cleaning process of it that's, like,
I don't mind cleaning tanks. When I lived in Atlanta, I randomly had a fish tank, and it was, like, always something really tranquil. Because every day I come in,
they're
feed my little
nice.
Fish.
Ooh, I just
like
to have
room. I want one so bad.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, once I get the room to have all that,
but
would
I would love
dope.
One of those big
Built
ones
in.
That
yes.
is, like, all, like in
wall
the wall.
Yes.
Ooh. Anyway, off topic. See how we do? Okay, so now tell me another animal, like, that would be your second favorite. What else comes to mind?
I like giraffes.
Oh, me yep. too.
I think they're graceful. I think they're beautiful to look at. And they don't bother nobody. Anytime I've seen a giraffe tripping, it's because somebody fucked with it. So, like, I've never seen a giraffe just, you know what I'm saying, be on one. So, I like giraffes. And plus, they're the thing that Toys R Us use, so you automatically think it's a friendly animal. I like giraffes.
What about you?
I am leaning towards... meerkat? Is that the one?
Okay.
It's the one that's like, sometimes it's a pet and it just stands up and it looks all crazy and mm-hmm. funky. Yeah, I like those. They look really cool.
They're super cute. Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Is that a ferret that we're thinking of?
Oh, maybe it's the ferret I'm
thinking
of.
Yeah, because I don't think people have meerkats.
Meerkats sound like it'll fuck you up.
I think so.
Within the ferret.
So a ferret?
Ferrets are
well,
cool.
What is ferrets? I know. They're a little creepy, though.
Mm-hmm. But they're nice, though.
We were at, I think we were at Spike Lee's party when I went with Jade, and this lady came into the party with a ferret in a carriage.
I think that's random.
And I was
fuck,
like, wow, it was a very strange Brooklyn night.
I kind of like shit like that. Like, I think about Sway Lee and his pet monkey.
But what is it about a ferret? I mean, a ferret that you like?
They just look really inquisitive, like how they kind of pop up mm-hmm. and throw their heads around, looking around. And
yeah.
It's just entertaining to watch. And I feel like they're probably smart animals, too, and I think it's really cute to watch their hands when they, like, eat stuff. And they kind of, like, put their little paws on you.
They're long.
Yeah.
They are.
Ferrets are cute.
Cute. They are really cute. Okay, so we remember these answers, okay? So here's my third question. What's... it's cute. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Black.
Black? Mm-hmm. Why is black your favorite
It just
color?
Makes me feel calm and still, and I feel like it goes with everything. Mm-hmm. I like it in my home. I like it in, what else do I like? In my closet. You know, I like black clothing. Black, to me, is just always going to work. So I like black.
Nice. What mm-hmm. about you? You said purple?
Purple.
Why?
It's just very, like... It's always a statement. It doesn't matter what it's on, it, like what shade of it. It could be something really, because they say it's like royalty. It's,
and it looks good on you.
Yeah, you know, purple just looks really, really nice on me. It's like mm-hmm. a really like reddish almost, but still like a bluish, but like not quite because you know they're married. But so it is more than, it's a mystery.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, no, I can't tell you mine because then, because I already know why I'm asking, so it'll kill it.
So you can rig it.
Okay. Okay, it's two more questions. So the fourth one, when you think of bodies of water, right? Mm-hmm. Waterfalls, mm-hmm. ponds, rivers, TLC. Lakes, TOC. Waterfalls that you
rivers,
used to.
Lakes.
What would you describe as like your favorite body of water?
My favorite body of water? Oh, I've seen some pretty water. I went on a cruise one time mm-hmm. in the Caribbean. We were on some private island. It was a Royal Caribbean. Or no. Yes, no, not Royal Caribbean. What's Carnival is a cheap one, right? Royal Caribbean is the one that was kind of like
Carnival's the party
night.
One.
Yeah, it was Royal Caribbean. Mm. That's what I was on. And we were on a private island, and it was the most clear, beautiful water I've ever seen in my life. So I'm not sure what the name of it was. Do mm-hmm. I need to be specific?
No. It's just more the so type the of, type of water. It doesn't have to be like a location.
It was beautiful, crystal clear, like beach. You know, it was ocean. It was the ocean.
Mm, so you like just clear,
yes,
calm.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about
so
you
don't mean like a sea or a lake or...
Whatever kind of body of water.
You can even talk about a bathtub.
Yeah. I mean, it's just whatever calls to you when you think of a body of water that you would want to be in.
Oh, I just think about the open-ass ocean. Like, I think about if I was on an island, if I was on like a little-ass island, if I could just look out and see the ocean all around me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, not that I want to be stuck on a tiny ass island, but I just think about that.
Can I pick a new one?
You want to change it? Yeah.
Because it can be anything, right?
Absolutely any body of water.
Okay, I want one of them. You know, in the Poconos, the Caesars Resorts up there, they have that champagne glass hot tub. You know what I'm talking
and
about?
The hard flavor pool.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I want that. I want the champagne hot tub. Can I pick that? It doesn't need to be a natural body of water.
I mean. We could take it.
Okay.
But
let's roll the dice. Something different.
But we'll go with the first one you said, too. So okay, we'll have both. Okay. We'll have both options. Okay, here's my last question. Those of you listening, make sure you guys are answering these, too. So picture a white room. So I open the door, and I tell you to go into a room, and it's
the
white.
RNC.
And it's completely white.
Mm-hmm.
It's well lit, so it's not like it's dark or anything shady. It's a well-lit white room with no furniture.
Heaven.
And then I close the door. How do you feel in that room? Like, what do you think would kick up? And I don't tell you why. I just literally close the door.
It's just a white room,
and it's just a white room, no furniture.
Am I doing an Apple commercial? Like the old
school? Do I know how long I'm finna be in this motherfucker?
You know nothing. It's just, I close the door.
I automatically get anxious.
So it makes you anxious.
Yeah, because I feel like something's going to happen next. So I want to be prepared
like
naturally.
Movie.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what the fuck is up, friend? You know, you're the last person I would expect some shit like this from. Why are we in here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you would get anxiety.
Yeah, I'd be like, friend, okay, when is you going to tell me what's going on?
What about you, Sante?
I mean, if you're just going to leave me in there, I'm going to just say, okay.
Nigga, a white room that you don't know why you there.
You know, Asante would be fine. I feel like he would just sit down and whip out his video game.
I'm going to be lit as hell. I'm like, oh my God, friend, we're in a white room. And you're going to be like, I'll be right back. I'm like, okay. And then you close the door and I'm stuck in there.
And you'll be fine in there?
And then I look around and it's all white. I'm like, okay. And then I'm going to just sit my ass down. And if there is something next, I hope that it's
ain't no door. All you see, think about it, it's a fantasy. So ain't no door.
Literally,
all you see is white space everywhere you look.
But not for nothing.
No, nothing, just white.
Not
space.
For nothing. The way that society and all this shit is, a moment of quiet in just a bright ass room. I'm not on my phone looking at nothing.
You don't
or
know it's a
nothing.
Moment.
Look, it
you
might
don't know
be
if
the,
you ever leaving. You could, this could be.
It.
Never mind, but this could be it.
See,
you don't ever know.
You're too pessimistic now.
Yeah, it's a white room with no doors, windows, floor, ceiling, furniture, chairs. Ain't even no remote. Ain't no wicker chair. Ain't no end table.
Not a wicker chair.
Ain't no nightstand. Ain't nothing.
Okay, so for you it's anxiety,
yes.
And for you it's calm.
It's chill.
It's chill.
Okay.
Okay, so now I'm going to tell you what I'm doing.
She's
this
about
is,
to let us have it.
I am going to let you, but it's exciting.
Yes.
This is what's awesome about
oh,
it.
Oh, shit.
So this
like,
is.
You in hell when you're in there?
No, listen, this is a test of relational psychology.
Ah.
Relational psychology is how you relate to yourself and other people. So it's a branch of psychoanalysis where the subject is asked to imagine different situations, and through the series of questions and the things that you're describing, it stimulates your subconscious. So your subconscious thoughts are the thoughts that aren't like that you don't immediately express, but we all know are hidden, you know, somewhere there. The let's say like the more hidden aspects of your thoughts and your personality. So what this is, it's a question where this starts prompting your answers and why you answer in these specific ways. So I'm going to tell you guys what your answers mean. And obviously this isn't like, you know, it's just a fun test. Yeah. So it's not like the world is going to be like, oh my God, this is why he said this.
It's like playing MASH back in the day, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it's just a cute test. So here's what it is. The first animal that you described. So Dustin described a dog. Mm-hmm. And you described...
The fish was my first one?
Yes.
The koi fish. Mm-hmm. That's your ideal mate.
I don't.
So what were the reasons you said you liked a dog?
Because it was...
You said they're sweet.
They have personality.
They have personality.
They feel emotion.
They feel emotion. You said you can look at them in the eyes and connect. So these are literally the things you look for in an ideal mate.
I love personality.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And then when you with koi fish, you said they're brilliant, they're calming, they stand out, but they're like beautiful. So that's what you look for in an ideal mate. Someone who stands out and has like style, I'm guessing. And this is the cool thing about this test. You can sit and analyze them even deeper from your own answers. Like, why a koi fish? Koi fish are beautiful, but they're also like quiet. You know what I mean? So that's sort of...
You know
of,
what, friend?
Isn't this cool?
I'm starting to see
what's
where
the second
going.
One?
So now the second animal that you mentioned was the giraffe. Because mm-hmm. you said they don't bother nobody.
They're graceful.
They're graceful. That's how you view yourself. And so you
I
said...
I literally said, I ain't never seen a giraffe fucking with nobody unless they fucked with it.
Which
and
is literally...
No! Okay?
And you said a meerkat because you said they're inquisitive.
Yes.
They're super cool.
Yes.
And that's exactly how you've Absolutely. Always described yourself as when someone who's inquisitive.
When I said the meerkat was inquisitive, I was like, I was about to say, like me. Because right. they're always looking up like, what's up? What's going on?
And you said they're super chill.
Right. Nice as fuck.
Isn't this interesting? Okay. So the third question I asked you guys was to pick your favorite color. And what color did you say?
Black.
You said black. And what were the reasons?
Because it was... It made me feel still.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was always a good choice. It goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Those were basically the reasons I said.
And now the what your favorite color tells you is how you want the world to view you.
Royalty.
Classic.
Classic. You said it goes with everything. It fits in well.
It's always a good choice.
It's always a good choice. And you said purple. It's royal.
It always makes a statement.
It
of some
always
sort.
Makes a statement. So this is how you want to be viewed to the world. Now let's talk about the body of water.
Oh Lord!
So let's go with your first one.
Yes.
Oh, you God. Said
like crystal clear.
Or even
clear,
your second
beautiful.
One is type funny. The champagne glass.
That's hot tub. Yeah.
So the body of water is how you view your sexuality.
Vast and.
Beautiful, the best I've ever seen. This is literally what I said. I said it was the clearest, prettiest water I've
that
ever,
you've
seen
ever seen
in my life. I went straight to the best. This test, let me tell you something. When she contorted, I Ooh. Supported. Ain't that what they said? Ain't that what Ray Shrimmer said? When she contorted, I support it. I support this test.
And Asante, you said just a vast, limitless yep. body of water.
Yeah,
so your sex is limitless. And Dustin, your sex, and then, but you also said the champagne one and the Pocono, so.
Noteworthy, unforgettable, original.
Creative.
Only found in one damn place. Iconic.
Oh,
legendary. Stately.
And then now the last question was, I asked you guys to imagine a white room.
Oh, God, I'm ready for this.
So this represents how you feel about death. So it gives you anxiety, Dustin. Mm-hmm. And for you, it was very calming to find the peace. Isn't that interesting?
Because in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Isn't that the coolest test?
Yes.
Because in what you think are just a series of prompts and questions, you're actually stimulating your subconscious with the answers. And it can be totally related to your thoughts. And I think this is a cool thing to go on dates with these. I mean, I know it's kind of shady.
So people like, what's your favorite color? These are the things they really ask. It's like, are we in school? But they're right. Really trying to find out.
You can
shit.
Really psychoanalyze someone some in 5 minutes because look at what you just shared your thoughts on death, sexuality, your self-esteem.
This ain't Game of Thrones. You know, when you watch Game of Thrones, it's more happening than what you watch in the same thing.
Your thoughts on love, all that in a matter of like 5 minutes. So it's a cool icebreaker to do maybe when you're meeting someone new and you kind of want to like dig into their brain without psychoanalyzing them directly. Obviously, this is fun. It's nothing deep. It's not really going to tell you the be-all, end-all of the person, but I just think it's a really cool game. Psychology students, I'm sure you guys play this all the time because it comes straight from your relational psychology textbooks. You should Google relational psychology. They have tons of them. They have a cube one. It's actually the one I wanted to do, but it's a little bit longer. They have a door one with different doors and which door you picked and then what's behind it. Like, look these up. They're
that
really...
shit scare me. Like, I'm going to be nervous walking to the train now.
Right?
You pick which door and what's going to happen when you open. Like, now I'm looking. I feel like someone's going to get my leg.
So those of you listening, you know definitely check that out. Well, wasn't that cute?
Yes.
So this is just a cool way to kind of tap. It's a fun way to tap into your subconscious. So it doesn't always have to be heavy and deep. Sometimes you can, even through playfulness, really kind of gauge where your head is at. I saw a neuroscientist in the comments under one of the sites I was looking through, and he was like, you know, this is cool. It's fun. He was like, but you have to keep in mind that humans are constantly changing.
Oh, my God. Can we have the the moment? Shit. I hate it. Well, actually, motherfucker. Here we go. How are you going to well actually the test
he
that
did.
We just said was like great?
He was like, this is fun, but, you know, people go through things on a daily basis that change their subconscious thoughts. So he was like, don't let this make you think that you know someone based on their answer. So I get where he was coming from. You know, he had to put a disclaimer out there, which I appreciate, but I think it's a fun game.
Right. Shit.
I think it's fun to do. And those of you that answered it, it's fun to kind of look back at your answers and it tell you where you're at. How you feeling?
He must have said, he must have said a backed up toilet for the body of water. And that's why he didn't enjoy the test once he got his results. You know what I'm saying?
So that's this week's wellness
raw
segment.
Sewage, nigga.
Oh, my God.
I hope you guys had a little bit of fun with that.
That was so much
right?
fun.
And I'll keep looking up some more fun ways for us to dig into our brains. So that was a cute one.
So proud of my answers, friend.
Yo, y'all were both on point, though. Like, for real.
No wonder you were looking like that when we were answering.
And you saw my face. I was proud. I was like, good. This is good.
I'm sitting here like, I don't really know about animals.
You saw I was prompting you. I was like, but which one? Which one do you love?
I want to be like, I don't know.
So that's it for this week's wellness segment. Now let's jump into Mr. Music Man. What you got for us this week, Asante?
Well, Mr. Music Man, I got music for your ass. So for the Music Man segment, No November, it's K-N-O-W, November will be out Friday. So, know me? No, November. No November will be out on Friday. And it is the playlist pledge of this month. It is going to be featuring tracks from N.E.R.D., featuring Rihanna. Mm. It is going to be featuring tracks from Yo Gotti's new project. It's going to be featuring tracks from Chris Brown's new project. And I just tweeted today, or yesterday, by the time you listen to this episode, people's listens lately, what are you listening to? So feel free to hit me up with what you're listening to. I'm just trying to curate the vibe based on like what everybody's listening to along with the shit that I'm
the
listening
energy
to.
Forecast.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when people are listening to the playlist and they're like, oh, you spot on. I'm just taking a little bit of what everybody's been feeling.
Yes, energy and trying to like music.
That's what I'm trying to do. Like I'm trying to catch everyone's vibe and then get us all on the same page somehow, mm-hmm. some like cool little page. So if you have requested
gospel.
Me on Apple Music. that's not gospel. I don't know why I thought Miley Cyrus's little soundbite thing was going to be it. if you've requested me on Apple Music, I have tried my darndest. I have approved as many people as it lets me approve at a time. If you are approved, sound off. Tweet me and say, I have been approved. And also include your favorite artist that you're listening to right now. like at them on the Twitter and then put Friends on Pod in there. I just want to get engagement
on the Twitter.
I just want to get, I like really when people engage with us and the show and their fans. I think that it's really dope for.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, I think it's really dope for people to know, for fans, I think it's really important for artists to know that you're supporting them. And I think it's also dope to tell them the source of their support. So go ahead and, you know, put us on so we can put you on some more. And that is pretty much all I have going on in music land. There are a couple of things I'm forgetting, but I'll double back to them as we do listens lately. So you guys go ahead and start off and tell me, what have you been listening to lately?
Miguel.
Mm. Hey.
I love how many of you tagged me because y'all just knew. He killed it. Told
it's
You
perfect.
So is perfect. Perfect, perfect. That and Skywalker. It just makes me super ready for this project that's dropping the first week of December. Countdown to that. So I'm happy with that. Who else came out?
Chris the Fuck Brown.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really connect with this project, to be honest.
Well, they called Encyclopedia Britannica or some
Heartbreak on a Full Moon.
Oh. And it's a lot of tracks, there like 45 tracks. And then he just released a bonus one.
132 tracks, I feel like.
Oh, I thought, I was no, like, it's, what no, is it more? That,
right?
There's 45.
Shit.
45. Who else? I'm looking through the new releases. Who else have I been listening to? Oh, still listening to the Without Warning, 21 Savage and Offset. It's really, really dope.
It really is.
Obviously, Lemon with NERD and Rihanna was dope. So dope to hear Rihanna rapping. Miguel, I guess that's it for me. I'm looking to see, and I don't see anybody else.
Well, I've been listening to Sean Ross's new single. The model Sean Ross, he's now doing music.
Yeah, Symmetry.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I've been banging Symmetry.
And it was produced by, guess who? Brooke DeLoe.
Oh, Joe yeah.
Davey. Yep.
Oh, and guess nice. Who's singing backgrounds? Who? Lizzo.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Yep.
Damn. It's a family affair on that shit.
So dope.
I was fortunate enough when I went to LA to shoot Insecure. Me and Sean went out that night. We hung out, but I actually heard the song. He sent it to me, and I was actually fortunate enough to go to the studio with him.
It is a very, very good song.
So I'm glad The Secret is out. I'm so happy for him, and he has such a beautiful voice. It's just dope. So I've been listening to that. I love Lil Uzi Vert and Nicki Minaj's remix to The Way Life Goes.
I was so happy that finally fucking happened.
I'm hooked. I love
it. I didn't catch that yet.
Nicki killed it. I've also been listening to this guy named Black Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The album is called Digital Drug Lord, and the song that caught my attention is called Do Re Mi. One of my friends in Detroit was doing a live stream and they were playing and I was like, what is that? So I Googled the lyrics with a quickness and that's how I discovered it. But it bangs. I love that song. Also, I've been on an old school Toni Braxton kick. So I've been listening to her self-titled, the first album.
Nice.
I went back and played that. And sidebar of note, Vincent Herbert is all through the production credits on that album. The mixing credits, all through that first album.
So they go way back.
Yeah.
Wow.
He produced either How Many Ways, I think it was How Many Ways, that Vincent Herbert produced. So it's just weird when you find out details like that.
Right.
But I've been listening to that. Ashanti has a new single with Ty Dolla $ign called Say Less.
The cover's cute.
The cover is cute. She looks
very cute.
Ashanti, like, she looks gorgeous.
Yeah, she's been going in at the gym. You can tell she's taking care of herself.
That's it for me.
I want to shout out Claude Kelly and Lewis York.
Of course.
They have a song called What Does Christmas Mean? If you go to Claude Kelly's Twitter, which is Claude Kelly, he has it pinned, and it's with the Shondellas, these three beautiful women that are giving you an old school kind of Motown vibe. And then him and his partner, Chuck Harmony, Shondellas came together to create this really, really awesome Christmassy vibe. And listen to this, a little clip. So, and he wrote that. Chuck Harmony produced it. He is an amazing, amazing talent. You guys know that that's been my bestie for years.
Yes.
So I'm so proud to see him trying to jump on the Mariah Carey Christmas wave. Because I'm like, when do black artists come out with dope ass, like, actual Christmas song, not just covers, original. But original Christmas music.
Oh,
because
I was going to say Destiny's Child. Doesn't it feel like Christmas?
That's but the thing. We always do covers, which right. is still dope as hell. But and it's cool that he wrote something new.
Felt.
Right?
Like Christmas. When you hear that song, you feel it. So for Claude and Chuck and the Shindellas to be able to capture that in sound after so many Christmas songs. And
right.
So many,
it's hard to really tap into
that theme.
Exactly. So I'm so proud of them. They really captured the essence of Christmas with the soul twist to it, which is so awesome. And then they're five beautiful black people. So please support them. Please go to Claude's Twitter and retweet.
Yes.
Tell him we sent you.
Yes.
Let's try to get that song shared as much as possible and help people get in the Christmas spirit with my friend's twist on it.
Yes.
So shout out to you. What about you, Asante?
Well, I said last week or the week before, I was listening to a lot of NERD. And then,
yes,
you know,
me too. You got me back on my wave with them. I was
the first
home, sooner or later.
But you know what? Seeing Sounds was a really dope album. But the album before that, Fly or Die, was also super dope. And the album before that was also super dope. In Search Of, because that was the one that I specifically wanted to talk about. That was the one that had Lap Dance with Vita on there.
Yes.
Oh, baby,
shit.
You want me?
Like, well, you can get this Lap Dance
here for free.
Yes, because that's when they was really
Ooh.
Out there fucking shit up. In Search
Where's
Of
she at?
NERD. Where is Vita? Vita was out there looking good and doing that shit.
Vita.
Okay.
Vita.
But,
that was the jam. Vita had some shit.
Yes.
For real. Wasn't she in Belly?
Yes.
As his girlfriend?
Vita
was she
in...
was playing like a 15-year-old.
Vita.
Remember that? With
she
the
reminded
lollipop.
Me of my cousin Kamada. Shout out to Kamada.
Kamada, that's a dope ass.
That's Kamada. That's my cousin. She's going to beat this girl ass in high school.
She sound
for me.
Like it.
Yeah, that's another story for another time.
Also, shout out to India Sean. It is the 5-year anniversary of Origin.
Oh, my God,
so
it's been that long.
If you haven't listened to the Project Origin, it is on iTunes. There's 7 tracks of pure amazingness listed here.
Ooh.
So definitely go listen to that and bug India Sean about, you know, dropping that new music. You know, she sent me a little something. And, I have a really fucked up confession to make. And if you tweet India, tell her this is why and text her back. You know, India sent me a song and we were supposed to listen to it. She
mm-hmm.
told me to play it for y'all and I forgot. But I listened to the song and I couldn't figure out how to save it to my Dropbox.
And you lost
And I forgot.
It?
No. Oh. I forgot to text her back because, you know, she's still waiting. I think she thinks I hate the song. But I'm too ashamed to tell her, like, no, bitch, I need the song. So, and I couldn't
she
figure out
how to download
that,
though.
No, she might think that I don't like it because I ain't text her back.
Oh, true.
But I really just want
to. You
the
know,
damn...
we be sensitive about our shit.
I know. And I know that she would be, but that's why I needed to steal the song because she always sensitive and deleting her shit and I'd be having to save it. I still have so much India Gold in the vault.
Me too.
But I'm not going to put her out there like that. But again, it's the 5-year anniversary of Origin. So go check out that project and also go check out some of her other ones, such as Outer Limits with her and James Fauntleroy. And that is it really here over in the Music Man segment. I didn't go through all the other shit that I was listening to. But you'll figure out all the stuff that I was listening to when you listen to the Playlist Pledge coming out on Friday.
Oh, wait. Before you go, I have to shout out Desi Page.
Oh, yes.
She won the Spotify Secret Genius Award.
Yes.
How cool
which
is that?
Huge. And I was watching, I was living vicariously through her and India Sean. They were at the Spotify event, obviously. And it was amazing because Party Next Door performed. Who else? It was like a lot of really big artists. And then James Fauntleroy, he's actually who nominated Desi Page. So I was talking to him about it. I was like, dude, thank you for nominating her because she really is incredible. She's amazing. I hate that like the whole world doesn't know who she is. So
Yo.
The fact that that was given to her and she won the award and was like
wow.
honored and presented in front of all these other big artists. I'm praying that this is like her big, big break. She deserves. Like, if y'all don't know, Desi Page is DeziPaige. She doesn't have very many songs on Spotify. I think she only has like one, Armadillo. But if you look for her on SoundCloud. You'll see all. She has a project called Tall Tales that is literally
friend.
Flawless from beginning
You're
to end.
Taking every word out of my... The only way out is through, friend.
Okay.
Don't even start. Now, you know I listen to Desi Page, too.
Right.
No.
She's amazing. Her and India are like my soul sisters. So I'm proud to see them pursuing this at full force.
Absolutely.
And now they're both together in L.A.,
Absolutely.
So it's about to be wild.
And Jasmine, shout out to India's fine and sister Jasmine, too.
Yeah.
India, she fine.
So thanks for that, man. I love the James Fauntleroy
pushed for her to have that. So that's amazing. So that was my final one.
Well, that is it. I have some really good icebreakers coming up, but we will save those for some other shows. Outside of that, I guess it's time. Oh, this is a perfect segue for the TV Land segment, because I also forgot to tell y'all that Mariah Lynn dropped a new track.
I thought you say Mariah Carey.
No. Is Mariah Carey still singing? How's she dropping new music?
She was nominated for the Hall of Fame for songwriters, the Songwriters Hall of Fame, which I'm rightfully like, so the fact that she's not it. On yeah. it is wild to me.
I was going
to
say, that seems like something how that's overdue.
How many singers have written all of their hits?
What the hell?
Very strange, but she better win that because she deserves
it. She deserves it.
Yeah.
Okay, I was joking when I was talking about Mariah Lynn, so never mind, because I looked her up on iTunes and there's a whole project here called The Blonde Bomber. So never mind. We're going to come back to that a different day. I'm going to listen to it. Okay. So let's go on over to the TV Land segment.
Yeah, so you know, this was a big, big week for television.
You know Barry was, you know Barry?
Yes,
from
Barry's
Podcast and Color. She was stressed.
Raspberry.
Blueberry. Don't start.
Scrawberry. Boysenberry.
Boysenberry.
She was tweeting that she had anxiety because Barry she McGuire? Feels like you get rushed. And I was like, why does she feel that? I literally hit her and was like, why do you feel that Dustin gets rushed? I told her it's sometimes you don't be feeling the storylines. You don't care to talk about
By the way, and also, because, you know, she had to, Ms. D, my mama, she had to give you the high five, but she also gave you the high five. And this is a moment of empowerment for you. She said, keep talking about Queen Sugar.
I will.
Because, you know, my mom, we always talk about shows. She's like, you ain't caught up. So tell him he could do that so we could have that to talk about. So she feel like she's talking to you about it when you're talking. So talk
Shout
about
it. Shout out to Asante's mama with her sweet self. She's the best. But this week, okay, we need to go over to Bravo.
Oh, yes.
Because that's where the action was this week. Let's start off with the season 10 premiere of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. NeNe Leakes is back. I feel like we can just go member by cast member and just do it that way. NeNe is back. And shout out to Young Thug. NeNe is back. And
he's on it?
Well, that was his ad lib that Asante just reinterpreted.
He did that in a song.
Well, he's like, I don't know what he's actually saying, but it sounds like he's going, Leaks, NeNe, Leaks.
Oh. And I'm like, what? Literally, it sounds like
that. I've played it back a million times. Never mind. Go ahead.
So, NeNe Leakes is back. And she was absent for season 9. Seeing her on camera again is very wonderful. Okay? I missed NeNe on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Let's be clear. She built that city. Okay, so I love her, and this show is home for her. That being said, I need NeNe to go back to the NeNe that I loved, which there was some. It was just more authentic. Now NeNe is kind of putting on for the cameras and hamming up, and she's saying things and phrases that don't make sense, and she's saying them at random times, and she'll be doing a confessional, and she'll just start shaking her breasts and going, yes, out the blue. And it doesn't even go with, like, what they were talking about. And
it's
I know
the,
that
it's
NeNe...
It's the gifization of
I know
society.
That she feels like she needs to be magnetic on camera,
right.
But that ain't how. Mm-hmm. Because that's not what we ever liked about her, right? Mm-hmm. We like NeNe being NeNe. So I'll leave that there. We haven't seen anybody else in our household yet. We haven't really been in her home yet. And I know she has this big, new, beautiful home that we'll see later when they have the infamous white party where Kim's low-down-ass daughter says she saw that roach on the floor. So,
what?
Yes. So we also saw
roach
Kenya Moore.
Toaster.
Right. Sidebar, NeNe's store. It was so good to see NeNe on camera with Sheree and see NeNe just interacting with these girls again. It was just good.
It was good.
And also seeing her and Candy be at peace with each other,
yes.
That's so refreshing for those of us who always liked them both,
yes.
But felt like we had to pick a side. Mm-hmm. So that's been great. We actually can go to Candy next. It opened up with Candy, and we saw that the line for the OLG restaurant was all the way down the block. And it was very lively. Candy had a conversation with Todd about trying to find balance and being a new mom because her son he's not even 2, I think.
That's right, I forgot she had a new baby.
And he's the cutest baby in the world. Oh. But she was talking about finding balance with that. You know, she started her group again, which we'll get to that later. And then also her business ventures. You know how important her brand is to her. So Candy, that we got to look at. It was an opportunity to see Candy doing well after such a rough season 9 for her. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like her being vindicated. And she even referred to herself as the people's champ, which kind of got on my nerves. But I think that was more so her posture when she said it, because she just looked uncomfortable. The dress was too tight up top, and then her hair was like right back to the back, and it looked like somebody was literally pulling her hair at the back and like holding her head to the back when she was in that confessional. But it was good to see Candy doing good, because they really gave her hell, right? Literally. No, you got to stand back there, Carmen. You got to wait right
you
there.
You sound more like Mama Joyce. Carmen.
So, so that was great to see. Portia was on the show as well. She filmed a scene in her house when she did. She said that they were recording her podcast. It didn't look like they were to me. I mean, podcasting, I just understand it a little bit more than to believe what I saw on that show.
Oh, gosh.
And it actually kind of pissed me off, because it felt like she was just, oh, I'm just going to do a podcast and, right, you know, whatever. And this is something that we literally do, and we put a lot of work into this. Mm-hmm. So it was really disrespectful. I thought, you don't see me trying to hold a peach. Put the mic down, okay? We let you play on Dish Nation and shit, and you look cute, and you opine about, you know, little celebrity gossip shit, but that's all we need from you. A podcast, we don't need her giving that kind. There's a space for Portia in podcasting, and someone that we know even put the hand on her. And even with that help, she just, what did she do with the stuff?
She moved her right on along.
You see what I'm saying?
She walked off with all
you
of
can't,
that
you
stuff.
You can't. You can lead that horse to water, but we can't make her take a sip. And yesterday we saw her sipping. So I just didn't enjoy that. Her sister Lauren, there's something cold and prickly about her. Remember when you were in elementary school and you had the warm fuzzies and the cold pricklies? Mm-hmm. Lauren's a cold prickly, and I'm tired of her being there all the time just because don't nobody else want to hang out with Portia and her lies. She deserved to be disciplined for what she did to Candy, just like Nene said. Sheree go with a nigga in prison. So that's her storyline this season. And I know, just like everybody else that knows Sheree, she's embarrassed that we know that about her boyfriend. She didn't want us to know she was dating some man in jail, because it makes her look bad. Not that
didn't
it's a bad
she
choice.
Didn't she rekindle with her ex-husband or something?
Bob. For the cameras last season. Oh, that was never a real connection.
Right. Oh, God.
It was great to watch, because Bob was interesting on camera until he started doing crazy stuff. Right. But that was just for the cameras. Sheree go with a nigga named Tyrone, who, fun fact, back in season 4 in the infamous argument when Nene said, they're done, and she said she made the reference about the Trump check, mm-hmm, the promoter that Sheree called in that scene, that's Tyrone, the guy that's in jail that she's dating now. That's the same person. Fun fact for those who watch the show. Kenya Moore is married.
I still remember that restaurant that they were arguing in, mm-hmm, Atlantic Station. Was it the Grape? Never mind. Do you remember Atlantic Station?
Of course I do.
Never mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When she chased her out the restaurant. Anyway, because they on better terms. So that reference that Candy made to Nene running out the restaurant, which was really funny on the reunion a couple years ago, that was hilarious, because that was the scene she referenced.
What did you think about Sheree's comments about Nene's store?
Well, Sheree did what we know Sheree to do. It's always been a competitive energy from her, and she's never been anyone's true friend. She's been a friend of convenience, and they've just known each other for a long time. So for her to be literally sitting in Nene's boutique, and then they all say little playful digs back and forth in their confessionals, but Sheree always kind of goes there and makes it be more of a reference to, like, your character or your abilities or your inabilities to do things at a certain level. It's mean-spirited. So you're sitting there telling her that your store was better, but you don't even have it no more. And you didn't even have it when we were introduced to you in season 1.
She didn't.
So why are you bringing it up
now?
That's
why I thought it was so weird that she even made note of it. I was like,
right. She had last season. Now, just last season, Sheree was on the front porch with a folding picnic table.
Sweeping.
And what? Snacks from the grocery store in that plastic thing that sits down in the black thing. You push it down, you know, like it'd be pound cakes and shit in there. Mm-hmm. That's what the cookies and shit was in there for, that she was setting out a spread to welcome them to. Meanwhile, in that same scene, we flash over to Kenya to Moore Manor, which was finished at the time. And she has the most beautiful spread, all these great kitchen utensils. Everything's laid out gorgeously. But Sheree won't act like she better than somebody and talk shit about Nene's store. She's sitting in there. It's cool, Sheree, because we know that's who you are and that's how you get down. But that's why I don't feel no sorrow for Nene saying that wig was wrong that Sheree had on. Sheree had on a wig that literally looked like it was on. It literally looked like you flipped a switch and the wig came on.
What?
You remember those glowworm dials where you rub the, you rub it at night and like the cheeks light up? That's what it looked like Sheree's wig did. It literally looked like it had electrical currents running through it. Why she thought that was a good idea, I don't know. But Sheree's always made bad decisions.
Her hair was connected to a Bluetooth app on her phone.
The hip bone was connected to the hair bone. I don't know what her hair was. I don't know. It looked like her hair. It looked like she picked her hair with an app.
You
in
took
the
me
app
back.
Store.
You That's took me back with like. That table, though. The stuff was laid out on that table outside.
You remember
like
that?
Like Masika's makeup was laid out.
They were sweating.
Like it was just
yeah.
chilling.
All in black drape.
It wasn't even nothing even on the table. Drape. There was nothing
the
on the table.
Just the way the snacks was thrown on. It was like she took the plastic bag and dumped it. I was like, all right, let me get back to cleaning.
Was
like,
it was really awful.
Like
and that's the point. But she does that, right? Because she can't do anything different. Because Sheree has enough pride for us to know that if she could, she would. So she couldn't, but you have the audacity to sit up and talk about somebody. Okay, Sheree. Like I said, this has always been you, but whatever. Kenya Moore has gotten married.
To Bae.
And in true Kenya Moore fashion, she's being very strategic with the release of any information connected to her wedding.
It's not a good thing?
I think it's a good thing, but I don't think it's said well with Bravo producers. And so there's scuttlebutt and rumors that she's in very, very hot water with Bravo about eloping and not telling them about it. And then her husband not being less than willing to participate in the show. So although it could have been played strategically, I think she may have taken a little bit more than she could chew. But one thing about it, Kenya Moore is a great housewife of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Love her or hate her, she brings constant...
Twirls.
I don't even... It just... Kenya twirls, whirls, hurls sometimes. Like, just everything. She's kept our interest.
We're a little doggy.
The duration of, yeah, which I'm sick. I'm sick of them damn dogs. And I love dogs, but I'm sick of Kenya's dogs.
Why?
They move too much. You know how some dogs... Eventually, most dogs sit the fuck down. Mm-hmm. Kenya's dogs, I've never seen them be still. Never. They're always moving and fluttering all the time. And it's not a fluid movement. They're always fluttering. It's just... It's too much. Them dogs need to sit down. So... But yeah, that was good. Let me think. Who else is a housewife on the show that we did not talk about? Nene, Sheree, Portia.
Did you say Cynthia?
Kenya, Cynthia, my love. First of all, Cynthia is living her best life. Cynthia don't give a damn about nothing but just having good days at this point in her life.
Amen.
And that's why her disposition is that way in those group scenes. She just want to be happy for Kenya. She don't care about the drama. She just want to laugh with Nene. She don't care about the drama.
Right.
She just want to have different looks in the confessional. She don't care about the drama. She just wants to enjoy Lake Bailey, her beautiful lake home.
I have a lake, yo.
Oh, my God. Her home is
beautiful.
Like gorgeous. It's her place of peace. She don't bother nobody and she don't want nobody bothering her. I'm so excited to see her date and just enjoy this new chapter in her life. You know, she's 50 years old.
Is that the storyline? It's like the post-divorce life.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She looks beautiful. So it's just so good to see her. I'm really excited to see Marlo Hampton come back. I'm really excited to see how Eva Marcille gels with the group.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
She's
a new friend of the show. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and apparently she really makes her name known. So
I remember her on Top Model. She was a character.
She
so
was on
imagine.
She still got it.
So let's
so happy she won. Okay. The next hour of programming we got was Escape Still Kicking It. Now
that's right.
This first of all, shout out to Bravo and shout out to Mona Sky Young because the editing on this show makes the experience of seeing Candy on TV again completely different than what you see from Candy on Real Housewives. I love the way that the show is segmented and formatted. They're talking, you meet them where they are today, reunited after being estranged for years. And as they're telling the story of what's going on in their day-to-day rehearsals and their attempts at, you know, taking on shows or whatever, they offer context. Like, when they have a disagreement, they say, see, back in the day, and then they have these flashback sequences where they go back and give you the history and you see old pictures and they tie it together so you really follow this story.
This is on Bravo?
It's on Bravo. Mm. It's such a good show to watch. I love everything about it. And I'm so excited to see the rest of it. I've fallen in love with those girls all over again. And they just got the day, November the 6th was determined the escape day in the city of Atlanta. And the Scott sisters Yeah. They just had a whole thing at City Hall or with the city council, whatever. I don't know.
Come on, America.
But it was official.
Man, that's what you're doing down there.
And I don't think the Scott sisters deserved it. If ain't nobody else going to say it, I will.
Ooh.
They ain't did nothing in years. Candy and Tiny been working their asses off, staying afloat, making hellified strides. And I believe that all of this visibility that they're experiencing is on the basis and the merit of Candy and Tiny's hard work for years and being visible and having interesting lives. Yes. And here come the Scott sisters in wigs and Newports walking up to the back of the line. You know what I'm saying? Just
he
being happy
wigs
to be
and
there.
Newports, right. Like they, Kim's OC.
Right. Here they come. And Tamika Scott looking like a sexy Maxine Shaw. You know what I'm saying? Latasha's cheeks all in the way,
like
taking the lead. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm.
You like that one? So, yeah. So, that was good. I'm really excited to see the show unfold. Shout out to
Is
Shekinah.
Is that on Hulu?
No.
No, not yet. Not but, yet. You know, Hulu does have Real Housewives series and franchises, so it may appear at some point.
Right.
Now, friend, you know if you want to watch, you can come up. We can burn the incense, have tea. I'm just letting you know.
I definitely want to see Escape.
It's really
so
good. It is really good.
Because I love them. That's my childhood. I'm curious to know what happened. It's if they're so going to actually go into the real battle.
What? They're getting a therapist and
okay,
everything.
Okay, yeah. Then I have to watch.
They've already... Candy has already said that the group broke up because Latasha wanted to go solo, and Latasha has already said it was because Candy wanted to go solo. Now, those of us who have kept up with the story...
Which one's the truth?
Latasha wanted to go solo, and everybody knows it. Latasha was the voice back in the day.
I was
going to
say, but she was the best singer.
She had the biggest
the
voice.
The strongest voice.
Yep. And she really thought she had something. And she had a couple solo songs that I liked. But, you know, I never really saw it for Latasha as like a solo star. She didn't have that star quality. Candy did.
Yeah.
And yes.
When you're out in
Candy
the
was like
hood,
the sexy, prettier
back.
One. She was the one who, her voice was deep and weird.
Just kick it.
That's why Candy used to be singing.
Just kick it.
Because that was, when I think of Candy, I think of that song. Yes. I feel like she
hey,
had the
man,
biggest part.
She sang, she used to sing lead a lot. So,
I remember the words.
But the show is good.
I tell them to.
I'm
she has such an interesting tone.
Yes, she does. And I don't mean loke. Okay. Also, Married to Fucking Medicine is back. Here's where we're going to spend just a little.
I saw Crystal tweeting about it. I don't know. Crystal watched it too.
What?
Married to Medicine is the show. I'm telling you, like, it is like.
Are all these come on the same night?
Well, no. All the premieres came on the same night, but Married to Medicine is actually going to come on Friday night.
So you get two episodes this week.
Right.
That's why I felt. I was like, yes.
Remember we were salty last season when they moved to Friday night?
Yes.
But didn't it seem like the new episode came around quicker when it was on Friday? So I was all right with it.
Yes.
I wanted them to get more visibility.
Because that's a bad time slot, right?
Yeah.
I think they were trying to switch them because they were trying to feed us that new that other Married to Medicine, and we was like, we don't want this shit.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, we got that though, out of here real quick. Real quick.
Married to Medicine Houston was
I can't tell you one name.
No, none. Not one.
But the original Married to Medicine is back. We have the return of the Fab Five, which is Dr. Heavenly, Dr. Simone, Dr. Jackie, Toya Bush Harris, and Quad the Fuck Webb Lunsford, my personal favorite. Hit it, Asante. Miss Quad, Miss Quad. She got it, she got it.
What
okay.
is that?
That song from season one. And
they don't have taglines. Oh. Or do they? Uh-huh. You know, if Married to Medicine had taglines, it would be over because you could only
well,
imagine.
Well, they kind of do. Right, well, they don't have taglines, they just have a theme song.
Right.
That's cute.
If you imagine Quad serving it up for her tagline.
What?
We're going to have to double back to that.
Quiet. Get into it. A far face first, honey. Okay. Anyway,
I saw a
back.
Clip Freshalina posted, but I don't know anyone's names, so I don't know.
We'll help
but
you.
I saw one lady saying something like, well, of course you have to be his everything when all
Toya.
Your things
oh,
come
Jackie.
From him or something like that.
Oh, when they was talking about Toya. Oh, it was ooh. Jackie.
It was a conversation they were having. For those who follow the show, last season, Dr. Jackie's, well, actually in between the seasons while the show was filming, Dr. Jackie's husband, Curtis, cheated on her.
Mm.
And they had already had some kind of troubles in their marriage.
Curtis.
I know, fuck Curtis.
Fuck
we're going to get him. You want to do it now?
Let's go do
okay.
it now.
First of all, Dr. Jackie, first of all, let's be clear. You got to be a low-down, really trifling person to hurt a woman like Dr. Jackie. We all know that Dr. Jackie has experienced some things that are less than pleasurable. She's a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of things that were related to her treatment with that affect everything about her life, right? Mm-hmm. We all know that Dr. Jackie doesn't have any biological children because of her health issues. There were things in place. So to me, as her husband, when you've watched her and you've experienced these hardships, you should try to make her life a little easier, right?
Right.
Not say that she works too much. You don't work enough. You was a basketball coach. You ain't working no more. You weren't even that popular. You didn't make a lot of money. Dr. Jackie is a physician, and she's on television bringing light to the world. And people respect her. She's worked tirelessly to keep her reputation intact and to have some sort of honor and dignity on television, on reality television. And she's done it successfully. You sully all that with this behavior. You did that. And I believe that he's always been jealous of her. He's always come across as the type of insecure man who would make a woman's life harder just because he don't feel good about himself and he has to watch her be successful and have these strides.
What does he do?
He was a basketball coach. He don't do nothing but collect, spend our money buying classic cars and being with some woman who looked like she looked like she was at a casino, like the kind of hoe that be at the casino smoking cigarette after cigarette and just,
what does that look like?
Going to see like the old revival tours for people like fucking the Four Tops when everybody's dead but ain't but one of them left. Four Tops and two half, I don't know, but not even the originals. But she looked like the type of woman that would go to that shit, bus trips to the casino type shit. You know what I'm saying? That's who you gonna lay up with on Dr. Jackie?
Mavis Staple,
right?
We got Fran on the board.
No, no, sorry.
She's on the board. She's been on the board since last week, actually.
I was saying that because I went on one of those trips, so I can.
Right. So, you know, you get the reference. That's right. But that's who you're going to teed on Dr. Jackie with?
Yeah. No, we're not.
Yeah. That's who he cheated on her with.
I also think that it is super fucked up, right? Like, I don't know nothing about their marriage outside of what I see on TV, but just if you want children, like, and you see that you are with a doctor and she ain't giving you that at the time, go teach, go mentor, you know, work with kids to feed
that
passion.
How about he got kids? Stay woke. He got a daughter that Dr. Jackie has a relationship with, his stepdaughter, her stepdaughter. He got kids. She doesn't have any.
I just think that it's fucked up that we always have to say, and not we, you know, but like society, it always comes down to this men and women thing. And it's like we having this conversation literally because she's a woman.
Right.
Like, no one's telling, like, saying, Curtis should be, she should have did this, he should have did that. They saying, well, you know, as a woman, she should be out there taking care of her man. She should be doing that. She's literally saving lives. Like, she's out here trying to make sure everybody's good.
And pay their bills. And,
like, when I see the way Jackie handles her patients, like, her bedside manner, that's what encourages me to watch because it makes me think, damn, there are black people out here doing it. Like, we always complain, like, oh, black people always want to hand out, want to half-ass some shit. But then you see people like Jackie and Simone that are, like, really on TV doing it, giving themselves and, like, really trying to be the best at shit that it is that they're doing. Even Simone having the two houses for her kids. Like, you know, one house is closer to where they're going to school. The other house is closer to where they're working. So it's, like, this compromise between, you know, where they're going to be at, well, where the parents work. You know, it's just they want to put their kids in better schools, too, so just the fact that you can be a black person and do that is just amazing to me. What? So I just think it sucks that Curtis would even think when he's around these people. Like, he's around Jackie, or he's around Simone and her husband. He's around Quad and her husband. So the fact that Curtis wouldn't even, like, go in his circle and try to, like, get some sort of help or mentorship or, like, ear or whatever it was that he needed to get him back on track, I think that's fucked up. He would do that shit to Jackie.
I knew last season when he didn't show up for the group trip, he humiliated. Think about it. You're filming a reality show called Married to Medicine, okay? You're going to make her go on a group. You know how every season they have a cash trip somewhere, you know.
So they can fight.
Yeah. So this time, they went to, was it Hawaii? Mm-hmm. Yes, for Simone and Cecil's vow renewal and 20-year anniversary. He didn't show up at the airport when it's time to go because they had an argument. So she filmed the whole trip. You know what I'm saying? By her damn self on a couple's retreat events and experiences were organized for both. Like therapy sessions, couples therapy sessions, and she's sitting up there by herself, embarrassed. He did that to her. I knew then that, like, I don't know, he just wasn't right.
Sounds childish.
Very childish. Not attractive at all. He looks like a duck bill in the face. Tall, no eyebrows. He don't have no facial hair, no eyebrows. He might have a little mustache. Does
fuck
he have
you,
a mustache?
Curtis, with your miserable
ass.
Curtis.
Fuck, Curtis is a horrible person.
And Jackie, we love you.
How can he do that to Dr. Jackie? Dr. Jackie don't bother nobody.
Is she staying with him?
Well, we're finding that out as the season goes on. We're going to see what happens. I don't think that she will, but we'll see what happens. And if she does, I'm going to not give her a hard time about that because that's her marriage, not mine. Right. I ain't got shit to do with that.
She deserves someone that's going to appreciate her.
He deserves to be left, but if she stays, that's her business.
She has her reasons,
you know,
yeah.
Whatever. But I can't believe he would do Dr. Jackie like that. I cannot believe it. Quiet had entertained me walking into Dr. G's office the way that she did with those balloons. Dr. G! That was hilarious.
Always great musical moments.
Simone's kids are funny. Her sons are funny. Her and Cecil's banter back and forth. Yes. Simone, I'm going to tell you, there was a moment. There was another one of those moments on this episode. And shout out to Kid Fury. I hope you're listening to this because I'm going to text it to you later anyway. When they were eating at the table, remember the dog tried to come up and get on the table at the same time. Simone and her oldest son, I think the dog's name is Sammy or something like that. And at the same time, they like, oh, Sammy, get down. Get down. At the same time, they both reacted the same way. It is hilarious. And it's one of the things, one of the moments that makes watching Married to Medicine so special. Yes. We so often complain about how all the portrayals of black people, specifically black women on reality television, are horrible, are ratchet, quote unquote, are people not at their best. Well, Married to Medicine still keeps you entertained, and you have those moments of authenticity where it's not pretentious. It's literally a black family eating dinner after the mom and dad have gotten home from work, and they all get mad because the dog is too close to the table and the food. It's those relatable moments. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I was so glad to see this show back. Toya's a mess. There's more that I could say. But I don't even need to give an overview. As the weeks go on through the season, it'll tell its true colors, and I can't wait.
I used to think it was a good Toya and a bad Toya. Now I realize a broke Toya and a rich Toya.
Yes. What about Big Frieda?
Oh, you already know. So let's talk about it. I've been binge-watching Big Frieda, Queen of Bounce.
What is it? What's the...
I too
have been binge-watching because of Asante.
So let's talk about it. Big Frieda. Hey, we're going to discuss it. The show is good. I'm completely emotionally invested in this show because
I love
it's a
Big
story.
Frieda. I've always known his music, but I just didn't know anything about him as a person. And he's amazing.
He is.
You literally called it. Asante was like, I think if you watch this show, you would love his personality.
I think a lot of people, honestly. So that's why I'm glad it's being talked about today.
Yeah, he deserves to be big.
Absolutely.
Wants to help everybody in his circle.
And his show is good. His live show is so good.
Super. See?
Even with the choreographer who, at first, I like hated him. I was like, this guy's so fucking annoying. But now I
Wilberto.
He'd be having the shades on. Wilberto.
The way Tootie says it, Wilberto. He annoyed me.
Absolutely.
The way he was getting rid of people and bringing in these white girls to throw their asses in a circle.
He annoyed me too, but he got that show together.
I mean, that's the thing.
He did.
At the end of the day, the choreography really cleaned them up.
That's who Big Deb's son wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. He'll never be Wilberto. Okay, we'll get back to that because that's coming back in January, Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta.
Boom, there
but,
it is.
Okay,
you
so
know, I love Flash.
I love Flash. And when he met his grandmother and the family.
God, he's so adorable. And the way he dances with his little shades.
He's good.
I want him to be a star.
What was the song? Low key, he is a star. Him and, you know, him and Tootie.
He's talking
are my
about
favorite.
I don't remember shit or whatever.
I can't remember shit.
And then he kept forgetting.
Yeah. What about Melvin, the tour manager, friend? Melvin has won me over as the show has gone on.
You know what he has? The way he took Flash in.
I'm trying to tell you.
And gave him money.
And the way he says, like, you can tell.
And he is funny when they were building the house.
Yes, and putting up them walls. Go hard. We got 14, y'all. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
He was putting his eyes through it. He was like, I can see through this.
Didn't do a damn thing. And Tootie caught it. You ain't pick up no hammer, but you picked up that wood. Remember, he was like, I'm docking it. I'm a... whatever he
I'm
said.
I'm handing out pink slips.
That's what it was.
He grew on me, but at first I was, what happened to the other manager?
Right. What's her name?
She's, I can't remember. Renee. She literally, like, from one season to the next,
I didn't see her in season 5, I think it was.
Season 4, even.
Was she on 4? She just went away now. Season 1, I had trust issues with Renee.
Trust issues.
Because I felt like she was more trying to position herself as a man. She was more trying to transition from artist to manager.
Yeah.
Because remember, she was in one of the last In Vogues or some shit. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, no, whatever. So that's why she wanted, it's like managing him now or what. I don't know. But I didn't really trust her. And then as time, but again, like Melvin, as time went on, she was just still there, you know?
Where I lost trust with her was when she decided to bring her sister on to Brazil trip, but didn't bring his DJ.
And fucked up.
Who does a tour without a DJ when the DJ is the most vital part of the show?
Literally.
Especially a bounce music artist.
Because Frida's not a press a button and play right. artist. There's so many changes to the beat, and you know, so I don't know, that to me was like a red flag.
It sure was. And then even the way she tried to get the hairstylist, who's still there to this day, might I add,
right.
up out of there, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And the hairstylist went off, like, I can't remember, is it Teray something,
I don't remember,
starts with the T. But my favorite is Tootie, the dancer Tootie.
I love Tootie. And even Steph, the other one.
Steph. But see, the difference between Tootie and Steph is what I love most about Tootie.
Tootie goes hard.
And Tootie is a girl who is living her life unafraid to take on new experiences, go in new spaces, and just give things a try. I feel like she shows up when it's time to have conversations with people that are not like her. I love the way that she started that whole going to mentor those young girls and talk about that.
Yeah, help the girl with
the modeling. Tootie does literally the best with everything that she has. I love her relationship with her grandmother. And I just love the fact that when Wilberto brought those new dancers in and he challenged Tootie and Steph to actually understand choreography and blocking and what a stage show consists of and dancing on a more technical level, period. They literally didn't know anything but shaking their ass.
Right.
And he taught them that, and it was such a process, and Steph just didn't make it. She had other things that were priority for her. You know, I don't feel like she was lazy, but I don't feel like she was willing.
And I thought that part was so telling, especially for us, even as creatives and just people. There's always the people that get, like, annoyed that you won't bring them on for the ride because they've been with you. But it's like,
you got to do the work.
You're not doing the work. I can't just, like, when he told her, I can't bring you to L.A. And she was, you saw when he walked away, she was kind of like, oh, well.
She had an attitude about it.
And she seemed genuinely mad about it. I'm like, how could you be mad though? What was he supposed to do if you don't want to grow with the choreography?
But Tootie,
she did great,
and I love that she didn't let any of those girls intimidate her, and it wasn't in a "I'ma show you" way. Yeah. She just literally stayed in her spot.
I love
and
that show. I really do.
I'm hooked. I want to see them all be so successful.
Oh, when the mom died.
I was trying not to talk about this girl.
How could you not?
Damn. It hurt my feelings for real.
Yo, like,
their relationship, Vera loves all of her children, and her and Frida had a special relationship. And to hear Big Frida, someone who is so different from what most people consider to be normal, say that his mom, you know, even in high school, would tell him, no, you're going to wear what you feel like
I
you want to wear. And as long as you're
being
your...
protective. And
she was special. Yeah. And she really loved Frida. And so that, for me,
it was rough watching her deteriorate too as the seasons were passing and she was getting like weaker and skinnier. I was like, oh my God.
Ugh. I'm just hooked on this show, story.
I'm totally invested. I hope that they keep giving it seasons.
Yes, it deserves it.
And so Big Frida's big.
Yeah, Big Frida be doing shows, like touring, like multiple times a year, probably.
Okay.
Because I always randomly...
I'm like, I need her to be like big.
Month, not as big as she... go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, not as big as I feel like she should be, because she's been co-signed and worked with plenty of people to where people should be supporting her hard. But whenever she has shows at like Irving Plaza, I think, or Gramercy, I've seen her perform at.
Sold out.
I have
to catch a show.
The month of October, Frida was on tour with LCD Sound System.
They did a tour.
I thought, and how dope is that? You know what I mean?
I did see the flyer for I follow Big Frida on Twitter now.
Yeah.
Follow Frida on Instagram. There'll be some posts on there.
Oh, yeah, cute.
I need to follow Tootie.
I'm obsessed. I love Tootie.
Let's follow Tootie and Flash. Remember when they went in
the dispensary? I think Flash probably got a bomb ass Instagram.
I'm sure he probably be posting dance videos and shit.
Remember when they went in that dispensary?
Oh my God.
And what Tootie was like, oh my God.
No, no. Can I tell you what killed me in that dispensary scene? Uh-huh. I don't know his name. He's one of the other male dancers. He mm-hmm. didn't have like a big part in the show, mm-hmm. but he was like, I don't want to leave. But I got to go away. Yo, when I tell you, I screamed.
It's just so good seeing them travel the world and have all these experiences.
When they went
to
Berlin trying to take the class. So funny.
Oh my God. Like,
cute.
All
it's
of
a
that.
Cute show.
It's so good. Dope. So I'm hooked on Big Freedia.
Me too. Everybody watch it. I'm watching
Everybody
it on Hulu
watch
right
it.
Now.
Yes, me
so,
too.
Yeah.
Season 5, episode 10 right now.
Yay.
I want to say one thing about Scared Famous on VH1, and shout out to the adorable
oh
young lady
oh yeah,
in Dallas.
Dallas got up in it talking about, can okay. you please talk about it?
I just want to say really briefly, because we've been on the TV for a minute now, and
Barry.
This Barry.
Okay.
So, Scared Famous is an ensemble cast of made up of a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different reality shows, and I've been watching it and trying to come up with a way to talk about it, but today I just want to talk about what I feel is the most stupid thing in the world. Do you know that they literally called themselves having the members of the show who were from different Love and Hip Hop franchises, they called themselves having a Love and Hip Hop alliance now. If you know anything about Love E-Hip Hop...
E-hip-hop.
Okay. Ain't no such thing as alliance. People in marriages ain't loyal to each other. People in relationships for years. Children can't even keep people loyal to one another or Love and Hip-Hop. So what in the hell would make you think that you're going to go on a show where we all competing and say, all right, y'all, we're going to stick together and here's why.
Loyalty, right? Because
we was on Love and Hip-Hop.
Loyalty.
What? Them the first niggas you need to be looking out for.
You want me to be loyal to Young Jock, right? Who has
yeah,
baby
who
mamas.
Yeah, who are the loving hip hoppers on it?
Young Jock, Erica fucking Mena, Safari.
Enough said.
Miss Nikki Baby. Let's just end it right there. I mean, haven't we said enough? And you're talking about a loving hip-hop alliance.
An alliance.
That was the dumbest thing I had heard in my life. And it was Erica Mena pushing it. And I have such a... It's like I love so many things about her. And then she just... So we'll get back to Scared Famous. But let me just say that a loving hip-hop alliance is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my life. And you're asking to be thrown off of the show just like Miss Nikki Baby was early. So that's it for TV Land.
That's it for TV Land. Now we're going to jump into what you guys want to talk about in the Asking for a Friend segment, which you got for us this week, Asante.
Don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. I've said it. There it is. Here we go, bitches. The subject here is the confusion, .. It's so real. Hey there, guys and girl. Here's guys my dilemma. Sorry, I skipped your first paragraph. I'm in love with two men. A black man. I hope you change these names, person. I have not. I'm not changing these for you. A black man, Todd, and a white man, Jake. Okay, I think you did change these names.
Right, because Jake.
Todd and Jake.
However, the reason I ever had the opportunity to fall for Jake in the first place is because Todd left to hoop professionally in L.A. So I met Jake.
That's a reason to go with somebody.
Listen. This is their logic. Go ahead.
The reason I ever had the opportunity. Right. So I met Jake and we hit it off so fast and are now 3 years into this relationship, planning futures, etc. Quick rewind. Todd returned about 1 year into my relationship with Jake. Back to the present. Jake and I again are in the 3-year relationship. But I've always kept Todd as a safe place to talk and vent and express myself.
Oh, now it makes sense. I'm thinking she's in a relationship, or the person is in a relationship with Todd and just decided to just start this whole new relationship and is talking like it's just, that's just what it is. But
yeah,
they're actually
that's
in
what's
a,
happening.
Well, from what I just gathered, because I want to make sure I'm clear, they're in a relationship with Jake, but Todd is somebody that they've had in a special place.
Yes.
For like a long time, not a relationship.
See, she was with Todd because he's black, right? But then Todd had to leave, so then she ended
so they broke
Jake.
Up,
right?
Oh,
did she say they broke up?
Well, she said that they're in a, she said she's in a relationship with Todd. I mean, with Jake. So I would assume that, yeah, Jake and I are 3 years in, but I've always kept Todd as a safe place to talk and vent and express myself.
See?
Okay.
Especially when it comes to dealing with racism in America. I always feel like he just gets it and I don't have to explain. Now with Jake,
he's black.
I mean,
water is wet. I mean,
can't even believe I'm about to read this. I feel like I already know where we're going and I know where I'm going. Now with Jake, he listens and it seems he sometimes, emphasis on sometimes, tries to understand where I'm coming from. However, every time I bring something race-related up in a frustrated manner, he seems exasperated, like he doesn't want to hear it. Then he has the nerve to sometimes play devil's advocate while claiming to not agree with what he's defending, particularly about the national anthem protest. I'm getting really frustrated as I'm reading this. I'm sorry.
In other words, he's passive-aggressive and he's telling you how he really feels.
This then makes me want to talk and be around Todd more. It makes me miss having a black significant other who can totally just understand where I'm coming from. But because of how hurt I was when Todd literally just abandoned me, I don't see us ever having a future, and I feel like I'm holding on to something I shouldn't be and disrespecting my current relationship. Sorry, that was definitely a run-on sentence. It's okay, girl. I read it. I guess my question is, do you think I should give Todd another chance or keep re-explaining my race issues to Jake in hopes one day it finally sinks in? I truly love them both and am soups confused.
Soups.
Signed, Little Miss Confused. Who wants to start?
I'll start. Leave Jake alone, because that sounds exhausting, and we're off that. Todd didn't do anything wrong. He got an opportunity to pursue his career. We just talked about this last week, and career should be your priority. You guys aren't married. It doesn't sound like you were together for a long time. I think he just did what he had to do. But you guys kept in touch, so I don't think he abandoned you. Abandoned would mean that he stopped responding to your texts.
He left to hoop professionally in L.A., girl. He could have got on and then decided he wanted to start flying you out or something.
But I think the fact that you guys still talk says a lot. You know, most dudes, they're off that quick. Like, once they leave, if they're not interested in you, you won't hear from them again. So
I
clearly
ain't hitting,
he is.
Then I'm hitting it.
Yeah, so I think you probably just, you know, took that a little more personal than you should have. But I'd say give it another try if you guys still have feelings for each other. Is he back? I mean, I don't understand what's changed. He's back.
He came back a year after he left, and then she was already in a relationship.
With Jake, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say give Todd another try.
Dustin, what say you?
I just feel like these ain't the only black and white men in the world. So, like, Todd ain't the last too. Black hope, you know what I'm saying, that you got.
That's true,
you
know, too, yeah.
It's okay to deal that shit and, like, still leave Jake. And then go to the club and meet you somebody else that you feel more comfortable being
with. Very true.
Jake got to go because I hate to break it to you, Chrisette Michelle, but you ain't finna cure racism, you know, no matter how hard you try. So I really think that those efforts are futile. And it's time to let that go, like my sister, Hey Friend, Hey said. And you need to go ahead and move on from Todd. I agree. There is nothing egregious that was done, you know, that would prevent you from, you know, connecting with Todd further. But he also ain't the only black guy in the world.
Right.
So, like, what's
wrong
going to meet
both of them and get someone new?
You know, why not just go find somebody else, whatever color they are? You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. That's a good one.
Yeah, I just say leave the one that you're actually with, and you can still fuck with the other one if you want to, but there's other shit out there.
He's a working man. He's a good man, Savannah. Right. He's just in a bad situation.
I mean, and to Dustin's point, you don't have to date Todd. Like, he could just continue to be your sounding board as you leave Jake's ass and find you the real one, because that sounds exhausting. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go out into the world and be microaggressed and then come home and talk about it to someone that's not going to understand that shit, because then they're going to start microaggressing me too.
Yeah, so just leave everybody alone.
I'm actually really mad at this email. It just makes me seem racist. I'm not.
Just leave everybody alone.
My sound is off. Okay, Claude.
It's the jam. Come on, Claude Kelly.
Swipe
and shit, Della.
Yeah, that's
swipe up.
Crazy. Anyways.
I love it.
So I hope that is the answer for you. There, I mean, it's really cut and dry, as clear as I'm seeing it. I don't know. Maybe it's
it seemed pretty black and white to me.
Oh. I see what you did there in Technicolor.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's it here over Asking for a Friend. We are going to move on to the Black Business of the Week.
Oh, yes.
Friend, what you got for us?
So I want to shout out a brick and mortar business. There's a spot in Harlem called Bed of Nails on 133rd and 100. It's between 133rd and 134th Street and 7th Avenue. And I've mentioned it, but I really want you guys to try it. You can do make an appointment on their website, bedofnailsnyc.com.
Yes.
It's really dope. It's a young Black woman who owns it and created it. And it's really clean and cute. They only take like 4 people at a time. And when you walk in, they give you tea. And it's just such a nice place. They have so many nice high-end nail polishes, which mean that it won't chip by the end of the weekend.
Hello.
They have Tom Ford and Deborah Lipman and really nice new Essie brands. I actually have one now. It's like a... It's apparently a new line of Essie where it's not a gel, but it's not regular nail polish, and it lasts 2 weeks. So I'm testing it out because I'm on tour and I don't have time to get my nails done every week. So it's amazing. Bed of Nails in Harlem. Support them. It's all women. It's super cute.
And Fran's nails look good.
Right? Oh, my nails look cute.
And you
They're
can
growing.
Even go if you're a man, I believe. Like in the
They have
packages.
A manicure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they call it. They have a manicure.
Yes.
I was saying it wrong. Manicure is the regular one.
Which genius.
Right? Yeah. Manicure, pedicure. It's super cute. And a lot of guys were asking me, can I come too? I'm like, of course. They're not going to turn men away. They
it's
have
on
like
the website.
Special...
When you go onto the
yeah,
website,
you have your own
your
tab and everything. Mm-hmm. Make your own appointment. Candace is the owner, so you can do it with her. But they also have Jenny, which is a really dope Dominican lady. They have Christiane, which is the young lady I went to, and she's super cute. She knew who I was, so she kind of freaked out, had my foot in her hand. She was like trembling. I was like, you're so funny. Don't mess up my feet, though. No, but it was
steady
really...
that hand, Christiane.
No, but they're so sweet. Honestly, my freaking... I was in there for like 2 hours because we were having so much fun. Yep. Like, everyone in there just talking and laughing. And I was kind of cool.
It was like a scene out of one of them rainforest films. You and your all your girls.
Right.
Like,
no, but it's what I envisioned
glasses.
Like barbershop culture would be.
Yes.
But we don't get to have Black-owned salons with Black women. It's not really
That's
a thing.
True.
It's usually Asian-owned, you know, we kind of just go into it in our hoods. But it was kind of nice to be able to have all these women of color working together, beautifying ourselves. So support them. Brick and mortars are just as important as the
I
online businesses
yes.
we push. So Bed of Nails, and the website is bedofnailsnyc.com.
Love it.
And that's it for this week's Black Business Highlight. I also wanted to tell you guys, Chris did it, who... is in charge of the graphics for my tour, right? And she is also who designed my website. She designed Cheska Lee's website. She's awesome. She just recreated her website. She has a lot of ebooks that help you with how to make your brand beautiful and branding tips. And if you want to hire her to do your logo or just graphics, flyers, whatever, check her out at chrisdidit.com, K-R-I-S-S-D-I-D-I-T.com. She's amazing, amazing, amazing woman. She did Robin Thede's website.
Dope.
What?
Dope.
Yes, she did Robin Thede's website. Is it Thede or Thede?
I say Thede, but I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not entirely sure.
Because I'd be like,
Thede,
believe
but
me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the Thede.
But she also did her website.
Oh, fuck. I didn't talk about Lil' Kim had that song. Sorry. Go.
Oh, yeah, Lil' Kim.
Lil' Kim dropped Took Us a Break. There it is. Took Us a Break.
So that's it. And that's it for this week's show. Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
No, but I finally will next week.
Okay, finally, right? Mm-hmm. We inching closer. What about you, Asante?
If you are in Charlotte this weekend,
yes.
I will be there. I will be in Charlotte for the Read Live. And before the Read Live, if you were not able to get a ticket, and even if you were able to get a ticket, you can visit me at the pop-up shop that will be happening before the show. Check my Twitter and my Instagram for the details on that. That's at Hey Asante. If you would like tickets to the Read Live in Charlotte, it is thereadlive.com.
Yeah.
So don't forget to come out and say what's up to the kid. What about you, friend?
I will be in Seattle this weekend. It's the Seattle stop of the tour.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited. It's going to be numerology. You hear me? Numerology. No, the numerology behind it. I told you guys it's the 11th stop, 11th month on the 11th day. Like, come on. It's amazing. I'm excited. The alignment is beautiful. 11/11 then too. Right? So it's going to be an awesome day. I already see the women have been hitting me up and the energy is just all good. Yes. So I'm very excited. Seattle, I will see you guys this weekend. Houston, get ready because you guys are next month. You guys are the last stop. I can't believe that. So yeah, it's been a good year. I'm excited.
That's going to be good for the city of Houston, too.
Perfect, right? For us to end with Houston. I love how everything just aligned. All the messages.
Straight up and down like 6 o'clock. You hear me? Alignment, friend.
So thank you, guys. As always, we love you so much. Thank you for listening. Stay black. We will catch you guys next week.
And protect your magic.
Bye.